It's time for the Giant Company pregame show on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Today's game is brought to you in part by the Giant Company, DHL Supply Company, Hendrick Center, Gamework Memorials, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, Middletown VFW Post 1420, the Middletown Moose, Michelle's Creations with you in mind, Daly's Golf, Jack's Auto Sales, Middletown Lumber, Brownstone Cafe, Dominic D. DeFrancisco American Legion Post 594, J&J Pizzeria, Hughes Awards, and by the Middletown Area Alumni Association. Now, let's take it out to the game with the WMSS Sports Crew. And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to Middletown's War Memorial Field. John Wilsbach alongside Steve Leedy, ushering in another Middletown Blue Raider football season. Hello once again, friends, alumni, fans of Middletown. Beautiful evening here in Middletown, Pennsylvania, as the Blue Raiders will kick off the season against the Donegal Indians. And Steve, it's been a tumultuous couple years for Middletown, not having a season and trying to build themselves back from not having a season. And this year, good group of kids coming back, and they want to play some football.
Yeah, and last year was obviously the more difficult ask for everybody because you missed the year before, so everybody kind of just getting back into football for the first time in 2 years. Now you have a year under your belt, and it's only really the senior class here that has, we'll say, missed their sophomore year. Typically in high school, you only talk about senior class, junior class, sophomore class. There are some freshmen that that we see get mixed in here at Middletown, but I think it's going to be a better season. I've heard a lot of good things about this group of kids that are out. They say they're very, very coachable, and they're very good kids. You know, just what we expect from Middletown student athletes over the past, you know, 103 years of this football program. And we get to start against Donegal, a team that we have no idea about because Donegal has never played Middletown. I know they were incorporated in 1954, and we have never played them in football. So
Donegal is down in the Marietta and Mount Joy area. So that is Donegal, if you're not familiar with that, in Lancaster County. They're also a 4A school, Middletown a 4A school, and it does make for a good matchup between these two teams. But, again, you're missing out on that annual rivalry against Lower Dauphin, and Lower Dauphin a larger school, and even though a next door neighbor, they did not want to put them back on the schedule.
There are differing opinions on that. I like playing your neighbors, right, your rivals, and Steele High is not on the schedule. Lower Dauphin's not on the schedule. E-Town's not on the schedule. So, but granted, they are bigger schools in Lower Dauphin. E-Town, E-Town's a 6A school, I believe now. Of course, Steele High, their cupboard's a little bare now. They lost a lot of pieces from the state championship seasons they've had over the past few. So it would have been nice to have them still on the schedule, but we can only play the teams that we are given, and a lot of them are this new Colonial Division that Middletown is in. I know we all love those divisional game trips to Greencastle. And all the
luckily they're a home game this year.
Yeah, Big Spring, that's another one we have to go to. West Perry, I mean, this division's all over the place.
Yeah. Well, Brian Kaiser has a pre-recorded interview with Scott Govern, the head coach and athletic director for Middletown. He'll ask about those things and touch upon this team when we come back. It's the Giant Company pregame show. It's Middletown and Donegal. We'll have more when we return here on the Blue Raiders Sports Network. Giant Company, nutrition, health, and pharmacy resources all in one place. And from our table to your table, there's Giant Direct, allowing you to pick up your groceries without leaving your car. Giant Company partners with over 100 local food banks and with Feeding America, the nation's largest organization dedicated to fighting domestic hunger. Giant Company, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Hendrick Center has been serving the Middletown area since 1979. The Hendrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists. They have locations in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. That's the Hendrick Center, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Daly's Golf on East Main Street in Middletown does everything automotive. Tune-ups, inspection, tires, exhaust, brakes, even towing. Daly's Golf is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. That's Daly's Golf, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, proudly serves the Middletown area. Michelle and Doug Lutz are proud Blue Raider alumni. Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, has flowers, centerpieces, bouquets, wreaths, and they're a member of the Teleflora Network. Their number is 717-944-5425 or online at creationswithyouinmind.com. Brian Kotch from the pregame show here with Middletown head football coach Scott Govern. Coach, it's time for football again. Everyone's really excited, and I know that the off season has been a really exciting time because this year you got a full off season in, and the guys have really bought in. Tell us about it and how ready this team is to get on the field.
Okay, our kids, we started working out in December. Obviously, we didn't make postseason last year, and this is an opportunity we didn't have previously, and that's a great way to build your culture in the off season. And then we started doing our installments of plays in February. And the kids have bought in. Like, our numbers have been fantastic and consistent throughout December, January, February, March, April, May, all the way into the spring until we got into the summer. When the springtime came, we had a ton of kids that played other sports, which is great. As an athletic director, that's what I want. And we've been going hard at it all summer long. We've done some 7-on-7s with other teams. So the kids have been bought into in the weight room and on the playing field. So it's been a great off season.
One of the nice things now in the second year of you being the head coach on the team, now you've got some guys who know the system. They know exactly what you guys are expecting coming in. And you have some leaders coming back, some seniors, some underclassmen who have experience, and they're ready to help show the way.
Yeah, majority of our players are, like, we return 7 starters on offense and 7 on defense. So even though they're young as far as age, their experience in playing, and they were very seasoned last year from a lot of games. So that helps coming into it. And the kids this year, the difference, I think, is they genuinely like each other and care for one another. So because when you have that kind of relationship and connection, there's accountability. So they hold each other accountable, which is fantastic.
It's great having versatility on a team, but it's also great having versatility with the coaching staff because you flip-flopped the coordinators this year, went with Coach Ortiz and Coach Brodish switching roles this year, and both of them looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, that was it was a good move for us. I know Coach Ortiz coached at Hershey. It was experienced at running the offense, and obviously I used to be the athletic director, so I knew his background on offense. So I just thought it would be something different, and I also knew that Coach Brodish did a great job my first year here in 21 as the defensive coordinator, so I thought it would be a good mix to have those guys at those positions. And we added some more Middletown guys that were that are just good men of character, coaching our kids, which has really helped.
All right, let's talk about the offense, because an offense a year ago where struggled to throw the football, and people were looking, there's a lot of good talent that's going to be out there as far as skill position players. Middletown always does that. What's the expectation this year for what's going to be able to be done on the offensive side?
Our expectations are we're going to be much more explosive. We have better athletes on the perimeter this year than we've had in years past. Our line, we returned 3 of the starters of last year's offensive line. So just things are much better. Our quarterback situation is much improved, even with Ben and Harrison, both of them together throw fantastic. So that will help our game open up some more. It's ironic. I used to hear people in the stands saying, open the playbook. Well, we have this year, so we're looking forward to it.
Now let's look at that defensive side, because last year you had a bunch of guys who could fly to the ball, really got after it. Now, a lot of those guys got real experience last year, and that hunger returns to the field for you, and it's going to be necessary with this team just having a really tough schedule to start off.
Yeah, we're excited about the guys that are returning on defense because they were seasoned, like you said, and we felt that defensively last year we were able to compete with most of the people we played. There was a few games where, you know, things got out of hand of us, but those kids have all returned, and they're excellent leaders, too. Some of those kids are our best leaders, and that correlates over to what our defensive mentality is going to be as well.
what's a fair expectation for this year? Like, and when you talk about goals, and some people look at record as being a goal, some people look at other measurables. What's realistic for this team, and what is this team attempting to achieve this year?
Realistically, I think with the new division we're in and the power ranking system with the points, us playing predominantly 4A's and a couple 5A's, if you can go 500, you can go postseason. So our goal is to go postseason.
And let's talk about the division for a second, because it is a different look. People are not going to see some of those familiar teams that they've seen over the last so many years, but with the fact that it's new teams out there, yes, some of them are tough, but this is a Middletown team that they're not familiar with either.
No, and it's a good thing, because we're kind of a mystery for most people. You know, Milton, Hershey, and Susquehanna, we played them last year as non-divisional games. So we know what each other does from that standpoint, but our offense has evolved now because we have more talent that we can do things differently than last year, especially with Coach Ortiz coaching the offense. I'm confident that we're going to be a force to reckon with in the division, and I think we're going to sneak up on people.
Talk to me about Donegal. This is a team that I know people are not familiar with in the Middletown area. What do you know about them? What are you expecting from them tonight?
They're a 5A school that some of their coaches have come from E-Town. I know there's like two or three ex-head coaches on that staff. So anytime you get a situation like that, you know the kids are going to be well-coached. They run to the ball real well. They run the veer for offense, and you can't simulate the veer in practice. So in the beginning of the first quarter, it's going to be a little rough, I believe, just because of the speed of the game. But, you know, they're going to be a good opponent for us. I think it's a good game to start with, since we're both locally, and their kids will be tough, and our Middletown kids are always tough, so we're looking forward to the challenge.
Last thing for you, Coach, is getting to open at home this season in front of a Middletown crowd, which it's a crowd that always supports this team and supports this community. How big is it to be able to have that home crowd to start things off?
Oh, it's huge for us, and our kids are so excited to have the opportunity to open up and be our first home game. Second day of school, it gets the school juices flowing, and our community loves sports, so this is a great opportunity for us to give back to all the support they've given us and show them and demonstrate the hard work and effort that we've put in and what the product looks like.
Well, good luck tonight, Coach, and also for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it.
That's Scott Govern, Middletown head football coach, here on the pregame show. We'll be back with more after this here on the pregame show on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select. His number is 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Gingrich Memorials is the oldest business in Middletown, celebrating 100 years of service to the community. Gingrich Memorials has their own art staff and in-house laser, and they wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season. That's Gingrich Memorials, 568 North Union Street in Middletown.
The Dominic D. DeFrancesco Memorial American Legion Post 594 is located on East High Street, Middletown. American Legion Post 594 is available for your next party or function. New members are welcome. And don't forget about the dinners and entertainment on Friday and Saturdays at Dominic D. DeFrancesco Memorial American Legion Post 594. They've got a Facebook page for more information.
The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. They cook up a wide selection of pasta, steaks, seafood, salads, and desserts. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Tuesdays. That's the Brownstone Cafe of downtown Middletown, a proud sponsor of Blue Raider Athletics.
The Middletown Moose Family Lodge 410 is Middletown's family fun center. They have dinners Tuesday through Saturday nights and host activities year-round. Membership is available. The Middletown Moose, located at 100 Mill Street in Middletown. Good luck, Raiders!
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to noon, or by appointment. Jack's Auto Sales is located at 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230. Their number is 944-7363 or online at jacksautosales.net.
Middletown Lumber has been in business in Middletown since 1955. From hardwoods to framing lumber, Western red cedar to custom decks, located at 2 Clinton Avenue in Middletown, it's Middletown Lumber at 717-944-4005 or middletownlumber.com.
DHL Supply Chain is present in 55 countries with more than 140,000 employees and over 1,400 warehouses and offices. Solving problems and creating solutions, it's DHL Supply Chain. Proud supporters of Blue Raider Athletics and Academics.
Your number one choice for local sports coverage, this is Super 91, WMSS Middletown.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select. His number is 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net. Welcome back, Middletown's War Memorial Field. John Wilsbach, Steve Leedy, Cameron Rubernick back at our radio station, running the studio there with Audrey Horner. So Cameron and Audrey on board tonight. Brian Kaiser, head coach for the Middletown boys soccer team. They were victorious over at Lebanon High School tonight, their season opener. You heard 6-0, Steve?
Yeah, 6-0. I ran into Landon on the way in here, and he was getting official school transportation, I guess, from his brother. So I was wondering how he was going to make it here if they were in Lebanon, and probably figured that the family was going to shuttle him back here so he could kick here tonight.
And yeah, he'll be playing soccer and kicking. You're absolutely correct. Some other changes this year for Middletown, though. Coaching-wise, you still have Scott Govern as head coach. J.J. Ortiz, who in the past had been the defensive coordinator, has moved over to offensive coordinator. And Robbie Brodish is now the defensive coordinator. So a couple of Middletown guys, they're kind of switching roles. And Robbie was telling me he loves that because he loved playing defense when he played for Middletown. J.J. Ortiz was a hard-nosed running back in Middletown, and incidentally, his son, just a freshman, will be starting at quarterback this season. And we've got some other good names coming back to this Middletown team from last year. We saw some good things out of Genesiah Ross, Gavin Paul, Lewis Roman. These guys, were starting to show us some stuff last year with their running abilities. And I think that's going to really boost things. You can use Ross, as a wide receiver, a wing back, and even a running back if you have to. Gavin Paul, just a sophomore. Ross, just a sophomore. Roman's only a junior. And we mentioned that Harrison Ortiz is just a freshman. On the line, you've got some strength coming back. If you look at the center, Caden Walker, who's a senior. The left guard is Josh Toro, the right guard George Hartwick, left tackle Joe Gassard, a senior, and then you've got another senior at right tackle, Tyrell Yealy. So some good strength and also a little leadership there from the linemen coming back this season for the Middletown Blue Raiders.
Yeah, and I think you can say a very young team.
Yeah.
And there's only a few. There's three seniors across the line. All the skill guys really are underclassmen. So Middletown certainly looking good for the future.
Well, Middletown in the blue, Donegal in the white with the green. And for the play-by-play, I turn it over to Steve Leedy.
All right. Thank you, John. As Landon Kaiser will tee it up for Middletown. Back deep is Leland Bachman for Donegal. There's the kick. It's going to go Bachman's way. Fielded at the 10-yard line. 20, 25, runs into his own man at the 30, and he will be tackled at the 30-yard line. So that's where the Indians will take the field here for the first time in the first ever meeting between Middletown and Donegal.
And there are some big question marks coming into the season for Donegal. In fact, all week leading into this game, who would be the quarterback? And they still weren't pretty much sure, but they have settled with Chase Marshall, 5'11", 175-pound sophomore, as the starting quarterback of this team.
Running backs are going to be Uriel Alkenberg and Leland Bachman. They will be split. Now man goes in motion. It's the underneath give right up the middle. That is to Alkenberg, and he goes nowhere. Second and 10.
And they run the veer on this Donegal team. Won't see a lot of blitzing and stunting. No need for that when you're going to get more of a running game from Donegal, though they do have a couple receivers out there. Senior Chase Gers and also sophomore Angel Mendez.
Alkenberg is lined up behind the quarterback. Double wing formation this time, and this looks like a disaster. Nobody knew what was going on. The snap went. Nobody else did, so obviously a bad count on the offensive line there, and the quarterback just has to eat it there after a maybe leans forward for a half a yard.
Yeah, the guys up front knew it, though. You've got some beef up front for Middletown, one of those Joe Gassert. He was reading that. The plays in the back will be called mostly by Roman. You're going to find that he's going to be looking over at Coach Brodish. He's going to get a lot of the signals. He's going to make a lot of the calls from the back from what they've seen in practice. Move guys certain places if he has to.
Double wing formation, third down and 10 here. There's quick snap. There is a lateral back. It is fumbled, and it's on the field, and it's going to go out of bounds. Back at the 20-yard line, they were looking to get it over to Angel Mendez back there on what appeared to be some sort of trick play, but Mendez couldn't catch it and just followed it and made sure it went out of bounds, which it did for a loss of 10.
Yeah, a little high, hit him square in the chest, but it was fluttering a little bit, and I don't know if they were looking for the lateral pass over to him, and then he chucks it down the field, but that just never materialized, and the punting unit is now in. For Donegal, as we'll get either a delay of game here, too many on the field. Yeah.
That's a illegal substitution.
Yeah, I think they have one too many.
Oh,
out
yeah,
there.
Somebody's going out, so that's definitely what that is.
Yeah, Leaf was out there, and he is quickly gone off, so that'll back him up five more. It'll give, hopefully, a better field position here to the Raiders.
Yep, Genesiah Ross is standing at midfield. Waiting the punt from Bachman. There's a snap. Bachman will put the boot to it. It's a end-over-end kick. Ross fields it at the 47. Coming across, 40, 30, 25, and tackled at the 20-yard line. Good return on the run by Genesiah Ross. 27-yard return in Middletown. In business on their first possession here at the Donegal 20.
End-over-end kick came up nicely on it because sometimes those can bounce off of you. And he played it nicely and saw a lot of room open on that right side because the ball came to him so quickly, took it to the right side, and has the Raiders in practically in the red zone here to start with their first offensive possession.
Johnson, the wing back on the right. Roman in the backfield along with quarterback, the freshman Harrison Ortiz. Middletown with two receivers way out to the left side of the formation. That's Ross. And I believe Smith is going to be a handoff. That is Roman, 20, cuts back, 15, 10, still on his feet. Trucks a guy at the 5-yard line and then is tackled at the 3. A 17-yard gain on first down, and the Raiders have it first and goal at the 3.
When you see runs like that by Roman, and you saw little bits of that last year here and there, and the same from Paul and also Ross, and you just can't help but get excited about these guys. Puts them inside the 5 at the 3.
They quickly line up. Now they'll look over at the sideline, see if they want different play call or not. Slot to the right side. Roman in the backfield now. Ortiz drifts back. Low snap. Ortiz picks it up, and he's dead meat in the backfield. He had three white shirts on him, but that's all because of the low snap there. He loses two on the play, and it'll be second and goal at the five.
Yeah, busted play. Best to hold on to that. Again, a freshman quarterback. Fans have got to be patient with him this year. This is going to be a learning year for him. Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator's son, but, you know, he's growing. He's learning. He's just a freshman.
Double wing formation here for the Raiders. Now they'll look back over at the sideline once again. Roman will switch his side over to the right side. He's the only running back in the backfield. There's a push pass. That is to Ross, and he is going to lose a couple yards back to the 7-yard line.
Yeah, kind of that push pass wasn't quite where it should have been.
No.
A little bobbling going on, kind of dangerous for using that right there. But, again, losing yardage going backwards. They need a big run here. I wouldn't throw.
Third down and goal at the 7 now. Two receivers to either side. Roman is in the backfield just behind Ortiz, who is in the shotgun or the pistol, you'll say.
I'd go with that quick pitch left over to Roman. Let him try to get outside on that left side and hopefully get some blocking from the receivers over there.
And in motion is Ross. Comes in front of the quarterback, takes the snap. Handoff goes to Roman, going around the right side, and nothing there. So fourth down and goal at the 6-yard line, and let's see if it's Landon Kaiser time. It is. He is going to run out and try the field goal here.
It's a shame that you get such a great start to the offense, the start of the 20, get down on one play inside the 5, and then you go backwards from there. But, you know, at least they're going to start out here with a field goal attempt, and hopefully Landon Kaiser can get them on the scoreboard.
22 yards from the right hash mark. Snap, the hold, the kick is on the way. It looks good to me. It is good. Middletown on the board first. We'll take timeout. 7:24 left to go in the first quarter. It is Middletown 3, Donegal nothing. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select. His number is 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is open from noon to midnight 7 days a week. The kitchen is open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Membership information is available. That's VFW Post 1620, located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown.
Welcome back.
More Memorial Field. Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach. One of us will get us back into it. 3-0 is the score. Middletown with the lead on the 22-yard field goal by Landon Kaiser, set up by a 27-yard punt return by Jenesiah Ross.
Yeah, he was kicking from the right hash. Just squeeze that in on the left upright, but still good. Got him up 3-0.
Kickoff is going to go once again to Bachman. Fields it at the 11-yard line. Going straight, 20, 25, and it's going to close off for him at the 29-yard line.
His kickoff seemed to be a lot stronger and a little more distance than last year. And, of course, he's on the soccer team. Boys soccer team should have a good season.
Yeah, I saw him, and I asked him if they won and what the score was, but I didn't ask how many points goals he had.
So
we were
going to...
We can't see if he has more points already in the football game than he had goals in the soccer game. I'm sure we can find that out.
Yeah. I'll send out the bat alert here to Mr. Kaiser.
First down and 10 for Donegal. Chase Marshall is the quarterback. Alkenberg, the running back behind him. It is going to be a give right up the middle. Alkenberg, and he is swarmed. Nowhere to go. No game. Second and 10.
I mentioned some of the coaching changes on the offensive defensive coordinator thing, but one thing I forgot to mention is two coaches who have come back this year as assistant coaches in the Middletown program that took a couple years off. Bobby Pelletier and Mike Dupes are both back. And you got Ryan Hughes and who else? Trey Leach on this coaching staff now. Great to see it, you know, infused with Middletowners and some fine athletes and guys who also coached in the past as well.
Second down, 10 for Donegal, man in motion. It's going to be a pitch coming around the left side, 30-yard line. Knocked down is Caden Leaf after a gain of just a couple to the 32-yard line. That is going to be a third down and 7.
Had some fans in the crowd before I came back upstairs here earlier asking, who are we playing next week? Some of them got some raunchy schedule from somewhere. I don't even know where. I said, we're at Milton Hershey. So next week, for those of you, if you're looking to go to the game, it's at Milton Hershey on Friday night. And then we're back here in 2 Fridays.
Third down and 7 for Donegal. They'll have two receivers out to the right side, two out to the left. So 4 wide here, and they've got motion and flags, and this is going to cost them 5.
Yep, just stop the play, and they're looking for that quick pass to the near side to Bachman. Everybody had already been moving anyhow.
Yeah, the receiver over here was not lined up properly, and he tried to step up to be on the line of scrimmage, and that was right when the ball was being snapped, so that's it. That was blown dead right away. So loss of 5, third down and 12 on the penalty for Donegal.
And Brian Kaiser will be joining us in future games this season. Well, you, me, him, we're all interchangeable, so you don't know who you're going to get each night, but all three of us will be with you on the broadcast all season as we get a timeout.
Timeout on the field. We'll step out as well. 5:58 left to go in the first quarter. It's Middletown 3, Donegal nothing. Back after this on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is a proud sponsor of Middletown Athletics. Trophies, plaques, T-shirts, promotional items, and much more. Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is located at the Square on Main Street in Hummelstown or online at hughesawards.espwebsite.com.
Welcome back to War Memorial Field. Middletown leading 3-0. First meeting between Middletown and Donegal. And my Middletown football history question to you, John, is Donegal is 14 miles away from high school to high school. What schools, public schools, are closer that Middletown has never played?
All right, I'll think about that.
Handoff goes to Leaf, gets a big hole on the left side, gets a first down, and will be tackled at the 46-yard line.
So the public school.
Yes, public schools.
Within 14 miles.
14 miles that Middletown has never played.
That Middletown has never played. All right.
And they are easy. This is an easy question.
Well, one would be Northeastern High School in York County. That's right, pretty much right across the river, a little below York Haven.
That is correct. That's right. One of the two.
There's okay.
And Valkenburg has a big hole left side, gets another first down into Middletown territory at the 40-yard line. Back-to-back 14-yard runs for Donegal, and they are in Middletown territory here.
You're stumping my brain right now on the second one here. So I'm thinking hard.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
Nope.
It's easy for you to say. You know the answer.
I do. First down and 10. Handoff. Alkenberg up the middle. This time he's got hands all over him. Jaycir Smith, the first guy there for Middletown. And he just gets a yard on that carry.
14 miles in football.
Mm-hmm. Huh. This one's actually closer than Northeastern York's high school.
I keep thinking about this one.
It'll be second and 9.
We never played before.
Second down, and it's really 9. The yard marker's off by about a yard. Wideouts to either side. Handoff is to Alkenberg again. Lewis Roman at the bottom of the pile after he gains 2 yards on that carry.
Again with the carry. Stop again by number 6.
It'll be third down and 7.
Ball is placed at the 37-yard line. Where it'll be 3rd and 7.
Hey, you've got me stumped right now, Steve. Oh man,
we could fire you, but you're not getting any severance pay.
Yeah,
that was a hint, by the way.
I know your hints, and I'm trying to think about that.
3rd down and 7. Wideouts to either side. Man in motion. Handoff. Alkenberg. Nope. It's going to be the quarterback keeping it, and instead he's going to get thrown to the ground by Gavin Paul. Couple yards short of the first down. So this is a 4th down and 3 here, and I think
10,
I'm going to guess that
they've
got to
go for it. Yeah, they've got to go for this. It's
4th and 3.
Yeah, the best field position thus far late here in the first quarter for them, and they keep moving the ball, and they're certainly not going to kick a field goal.
4th down and 3. Offense will be on the field here with 3:08 left to go in the first quarter. 3-0. Middletown with the lead. Donegal with the ball here, and we are going to get a timeout in favor of Donegal.
We've got that update. It was actually a 5-0 victory, Middletown over Lebanon in boys soccer tonight. And Landon Kaiser scored the first two goals.
Okay, so he's got more points than goals.
And then had a penalty kick that led to the third. And then he left for the game. I guess they thought they had everything under control that they were able to let him get out and get over here for the football game. And in his dual role, I don't know if he'll have any other conflicts this season. I can't think of any.
They usually don't have soccer and football.
It's just odd that they're playing on a Friday night in soccer.
Ooh, fire trucks are going up the street, up Adelia Street.
Oh, yeah.
4th down and 3. Man in motion. It's going to be play fake. It's going to be a toss, and it's caught at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Caden Leaf
out of the backfield. Nobody picked him up, and it's a 33-yard touchdown pass from Chase Marshall to Caden Leaf.
Good call on the play. He just kind of put him out there on the wheel route, and he was wide open. No one near him. Busted coverage there, and once he got to the outside, he had all end zone in his eyes. So a great job by Donegal to take advantage what they saw there.
Extra point is up and good. We'll take timeout. 2:49 left to play in the first quarter. It is Donegal 7, Middletown 3. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network. J&J Pizzeria and Grill is open for carryout daily from 10:30 a.m. until 10 p.m., Sundays 11 to 9. Pizza, subs, bowlies, salads, and fries. Their number is 717-944-1313. That's J&J Pizzeria and Grill, 288 East Main Street in Middletown.
The Hetrick Center has been serving the Middletown area since 1979. The Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists. They have locations in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. That's the Hetrick Center, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Well, the Raiders were on the board first, but Donegal responds with a touchdown and an extra point by Braden Gibbons, the kicker, who's about to tee it up here to give it back to Middletown. Here's the kick. It is a short end-over-end kick. Fielded at the 28-yard line. And it's going to be returned to the 39-yard line, and that is Kane Kolonik who returns it.
Well, back to your question, what two teams has Middletown never played in its history within 14 miles? I got Northeastern, which is kind of Manchester in York County. But I'm going through my head here, and I'm like, okay, let's see. We've got E-Town played, Hershey, Palmyra, Lower Dolphin, Steel High. Cedar Cliff, we always scrimmaged.
No, we played Cedar Cliff.
We played them. Harrisburg, now we
No, we haven't.
Oh, really? Even back in the day, we never
even
played them?
Even back in the day, we have not ever played Harrisburg.
Really?
Yep.
Like even like 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago.
Hence my severance pay comment.
Ah, okay.
First down and 10, here is Gavin Paul who gets the give, and he is going to be strung out and taken backwards back to the 34-yard line. It's going to be a loss of 5, but we have a flag, and it's probably going to be a hold against Middletown also.
Yeah.
So if I'm Donegal, I take the play.
Yeah, some good coverage here. Connor Umholtz, 6'3", senior. He came charging in. Got some good room to the inside. Got a little help from Caden Leaf, who we saw score. So Middletown shooting themselves in the foot here. So Harrisburg, that boggles my mind. I would have thought at some point way, way, way back that we would have played like a John Harris.
We did not.
I'll be doggone.
All right, so Donegal elects to take the penalty here. See, I wouldn't have. It's still going to be first down. Back at the 29-yard line. So Ortiz in the gun. They're going to be Paul in the backfield. Wing and wide left. Two receivers to the right side. So now first down and 20. Ross in motion. It's going to be a give up the middle. Logan Paul, and he's just trying to push the pile forward. Does so to the 32-yard line for a gain of 3.
Number 22, Gavin Paul again.
Gavin Paul's one of those guys who's been heavy in the weight room. He has been lifting, pumping, squatting. They say he's been a beast here in the offseason. He's only a sophomore.
Second down, 17. Wing and slot to the right side. Paul in the backfield. James Queen is over on the left side. And now they'll readjust. And it's going to be a give once again. Paul has a hole this time up the middle.
Fumble.
Coughs up the football at the end. They're going to fall on it. Will the Indians... So Middletown turns it over.
Got to protect that ball. And right there, kind of got spun around, and as he was going down, and out he came. And Donegal right there on it.
1:20 left to go in the first quarter. It is 7-3 in favor of Donegal. And the Indians with it at the Middletown 44-yard line.
Well, the defense has got to step up here. You know, shut them down right where they're at. Don't give them what they got in that last drive.
Bachman in motion. Play fake. Pass picked off. It is intercepted. It's Lewis Roman. He's bringing it down the sideline. He is going to be knocked out of bounds right around the 31 of Donegal.
Yeah, and barely knocked out of bounds. I want to say that was Colton Houck, who was the last one to try to get some hands on him there and got just enough to kind of pull him onto the sideline where Roman was gone. So right there, a great answer. You coughed up the ball. Hey, we're not going to let them have another drive like they had last time. Quick pickoff. You want to start putting some of that doubt as well into Chase Marshall, who got a touchdown pass last time down. This time now he knows he's vulnerable.
All I know is that play took no time off the clock. Because I write down the time of a change of possession, it was 1:20 again.
Oops.
So first down and 10 for Middletown at the Donegal 31-yard line after back-to-back turnovers in the game. Three receivers to the right side. Handoff goes to Rome. And looked like he maybe bobbled the handoff a little bit. He is whistled down, then they rip it out of his hands. But it's going to be a loss of 4 yards back to the 35.
But he's not getting any time. The offensive line is not doing its job right now. They are all being pushed back just a little bit and some penetration coming in, and they are not opening things or moving any of these Donegal bodies. Now, granted, we're still early in a game. You want to see who has that energy coming down in that final fourth quarter, but they have got to do a better job there protecting things.
Second down, 14. Three receivers way out wide to the left side. Johnson is the wing back on the right side. Now he's going to go over to the left. So four receivers that way. It's going to be a give right up the gut. Paul, 30, and tackled at the 29-yard line. So they make up what they lost on first down. Got a couple extra, so it's going to be third down and about seven.
Playing here on the natural grass at War Memorial Field. In fact, the trainer for Donegal, I was talking to him before the game, and he was like, yeah, he goes, for some reason, I was thinking I was going over to your new stadium there at the high school. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of people still think that. We still play here on the natural grass.
End of the quarter. So we'll step out. After one, it is Donegal 7, Middletown 3. Back with the second quarter after this here on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Daly's Golf on East Main Street in Middletown does everything automotive. Tune-ups, inspection, tires, exhaust, brakes, even towing. Daly's Golf is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. That's Daly's Golf, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, proudly serves the Middletown area. Michelle and Doug Lutz are proud Blue Raider alumni. Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, has flowers, centerpieces, bouquets, wreaths, and they're a member of the Teleflora Network. Their number is 717-944-5425 or online at creationswithyouinmind.com.
War Memorial Field. Steve Lee, John Wilsbach here. After one quarter, it's Donegal leading 7-3. By the way, going back to the question there, there was a third school, but we played them in the playoffs, and I immediately threw it out. I wrote it down, and then I'm like, oh, man, we played Central York.
Central York,
they
yeah.
are just inside of 14 miles
away. Yeah, they're just down there off that Emmigsville exit off of 83.
Yeah, because Central York is kind of on the north side of York.
Yeah, but so, back in the day, Central York was down below Route 30. Remember that?
Yes.
Right along 83 there.
Yeah. All right, third down and 7. Quick pass, and Ortiz is in trouble, and he goes down at the 30-yard line.
I don't know if that was a busted play, if he was looking for just a quick little pop pass, or it was going to be the jet sweep, because some of the guys are all looking at each other back there right now with their arms out. Like,
yeah, that we'll just say that play did not look good.
No,
no. It did not look fluid from all 11 players on the field. So now it's a fourth down and 9 at the 30 of Donegal. Middletown going to go for here. Three receivers left side. Looks back over to the sideline. Paul is the running back in the backfield.
I think that's where you give Ross a try. He's on the sideline. Chuck it up there. See what he can do with it.
Little low snap. Ortiz has some room, but throws it, and he airmailed it over the head of Johnson. And it's going to be a turnover on downs here, and Donegal will get the football back on their own 30.
And this is going to be the maturing learning curve for Ortiz, freshman quarterback. I can't wait to see him in 3 years, but this year is going to be his learning year, learning, you know, where to throw, where to go, what to do in certain situations. And he's going to keep getting bigger, too, and stronger as an athlete.
First down for Donegal. Chase Marshall. Going to be a counter give. That is to Bachman. Has some room. Has a lot of room. He's across midfield. Ross trying to catch him from behind. He gets blocked off. And it's going to be a touchdown for the Indians. No flags on the field. So it is a 70-yard touchdown run for Leland Bachman.
Yeah, the counter crisscross, known well by Middletown fans in the late 80s with Dennis Etze.
I don't think they double gave that off. It was just a counter play.
He took it outside, too, and then cut it up right where he had the room, and he found himself pretty much running side to side with Colton Houck. And Houck, I don't know if Houck exactly knew where he was, and finally turned over, saw one guy go, and was like, well, I guess I better turn into him and take out Middletown's player.
Braden Givens in for the extra point. Snap, hold, kick on the way. It is good. So we will step out here. 10:57 left to go in the first half. It is Donegal 14, Middletown 3. Back after this on Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select, his number 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Gingrich Memorials is the oldest business in Middletown, celebrating 100 years of service to the community. Gingrich Memorials has their own art staff and in-house laser, and they wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season. That's Gingrich Memorials, 568 North Union Street in Middletown.
Field 14-3, Donegal leading Middletown. There's another short end-over-end kick. Middletown will run up on it, and it's going to be picked up by Kalonic on the run, but he had his knee on the ground when he grabbed the ball, so it's going to be dead there at the 29-yard line of Middletown.
Yeah, not getting any consistency offensively. We got real excited right at the beginning of the game, had that one big run by Roman, got him down to about the 3, and they just stalled out and went backwards from there. So just a matter now of trying to get a little consistency in this offense, and they have yet to do that.
Ortiz in the pistol. He has got Kalonic in the backfield now. So seems like each series here we've had a different running back in the backfield. Two receivers to the right side. It is going to be handed off, and that looked a little funky to Kalonic, who gets 3 yards off the right side.
There's been a few of those thus far in the game. You know, main thing is when you're handing that, you want to get that to the player and strong into the gut, and that one kind of held high and bobbled and kind of like the running backs running by trying to grab it out of his hands, and that's not the exchange you want as a quarterback to your running back.
Give him 4 there to the 33-yard line, second down and 6.
These two teams will play JV game as well next week.
Slot way out to the left side of the formation. Ortiz takes snap, handoff again. Kalonic up the middle and bounces forward. Close to the first down. It'll be a yard short. It'll be third down and 1.
Put together a consistent drive here. Had some breakdowns on blocking on the last couple series.
Ball space on the 38-yard line where it'll be third and 1.
Get a little more consistency, mix that play calling up, and see what you can get out of it.
They're down and 1. Kalonic still in the backfield. Two receivers way out to the left side. Now Ortiz comes up, barks some orders to the offensive line, drops back. Low snap. Ortiz will take off himself, and he'll just get enough for the first down. Gets 2 off the left side and moves the chains for Middletown.
That's one of the smart instincts you want to see out of Ortiz for the future. Ball comes bouncing back, picks it up, sees immediately he has some opening over on that left outside, immediately goes for it and gets enough for the first down.
First and 10 at Middletown's own 41-yard line. Raiders trail here 14-3. Two receivers in a stack way over by the right sideline. Queen is over on the right, which is the near side, or the shallow side of the field, as Middletown's on the left hash mark here. There's the snap. Kalonic, nope, it's going to be a play fake. They throw it out to Queen, caught 40-yard, nope, they're going to say it bounced off the turf.
Yeah, kind of close, a little low on the near side to Queen.
Number 14, James Queen.
Brings up a second down. We talked about J.J. Ortiz, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator last year. Before that, he was down at Thaddeus Stevens in Lancaster with Dennis Etze.
Yeah, who's back in the high school game now.
Who's left there and is at Twin Valley as the assistant to former Middletown football coach Brett Myers at Twin Valley.
Yeah, Dennis Etze coached Brett Myers when he was in high school here.
And they were together, I think, a little bit there at Exeter for a few years.
Second down and 10. Middletown their own 41-yard line. Handoff. Kalonic cuts back to the left side and gets 5 yards before being tackled at the 45.
They're keeping it tight right now, keeping the line in tight, not really opening things up, and they're just trying to grind out stuff. At some point, try to spread them out a little bit more. See if maybe you can get a little more yardage by spreading them out. This time they're going to go with that. Trips on the right side.
Yep, three in a bunch. Out wide. And we've got a timeout taken by Middletown. We'll step out. 8:23 left to go in the first half. It's Donegal 14, Middletown 3. Back after this on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Dominic D. D. Francesco Memorial American Legion Post 594 is located on East High Street, Middletown. American Legion Post 594 is available for your next party or function. New members are welcome. And don't forget about the dinners and entertainment on Friday and Saturdays at Dominic D. D. Francesco Memorial American Legion Post 594. They've got a Facebook page for more information.
Welcome back, Middletown's War Memorial Field. Steve Lee, John Wilsbach here, 14-3 in favor of Donegal over Middletown. And one thing I do want to mention about Donegal, one of the feats over the last 16 years, Donegal, the only public school to have beaten Newman Goretti in boys basketball ever in the state playoffs. The other, they've lost 5 games. Four more to private schools, but one of them was to Donegal. Well, here's the handoff on third down, and Kalanick has nowhere to go. He has immediately had the bear hug on him right at the line of scrimmage, lost a yard, and it is going to be a punt.
Yeah, on a third down, I'm kind of surprised they just tried to take it straight up the middle there. They have not gotten that much on that run, and now they're forced to punt.
Jaden Taylor will punt for the Blue Raiders. There's the snap. Low wobbler. It's fielded at the 28-yard line. On the run is Anel Mendez, and he gets knocked out of bounds in Middletown territory. And that is going to be good field position here for the Indians at the Middletown 47-yard line. That is just not a good punt.
No, line drive right to Mendez. So it got to him very quickly, and he came up on it too. So he had a good running start for it. That gave him enough to shoot over to the far sideline and get across midfield. Mentioned that Milton Hershey is the opponent next week at Milton Hershey for Middletown. And an updated score.
Cocoa Bean Bowl.
Yes, the Cocoa Bean Bowl. Hershey leads Milton Hershey 15-0 in the second quarter.
First down and 10 for Donegal. Chase Marshall under center here. He will dump it off, and that's going to be a forward pass. It is caught by Leaf, and he's down inside the 30-yard line to the 29. That is a 19-yard pass, and looked like Marshall was just going to run, and then he just dumped it off the last second before he went over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And dumps it off to Leaf, and Leaf able to take it down the sideline for 19.
Great intuition, knowing where you're at on the field as a quarterback. Every time you step up that line, know where you're at, especially if it's going to be the pass play. So you know when you can dump it, how far you got to go, if you're going to have to run it or not. It's got to be one of the things in your mind. There's several things you're thinking of.
First down and 10 for the Indians. It's going to be the read option, and that's a bad pitch. It's loose on the ground. I think Joe Gassert has fallen on it.
You are correct. Big Joe Gassert, former WMSSer. You've heard him on our broadcast over the years here on WMSS, and that play was going nowhere. They read that and contained that well. Contained the quarterback, then the pitch man, then the next man. It was going nowhere.
Third turnover of the half. Second one by Donegal. And gives Middletown the football back at their own 36-yard line.
I tell you, Joe loves football. Probably go to college and play football, but he loves wrestling more. You'll see him... Middletown wrestling this winter.
Yeah, he's good heavyweight. He placed in districts last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have timeout taken by Middletown. So we'll take another timeout ourselves. 7:23 left to go in the first half. Donegal 14, Middletown 3. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. They cook up a wide selection of pasta, steaks, seafood, salads, and desserts. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Tuesdays. That's the Brownstone Cafe of downtown Middletown, a proud sponsor of Blue Raider Athletics.
To go in the first half here at War Memorial Field. Middletown trails Donegal by a score of 14-3. Raiders just got the football back on a Donegal fumble here at their own 36-yard line. Three receivers way out to the left side of the formation.
They give to Roman. I want to see him go more outside with Roman.
Here's Roman. He stutters outside, but the play really didn't fool Donegal at all. If Roman... able to get 3 yards, though, off the left side, second and seven.
Yeah, I want to see what their containment for Donegal really is and how well it's doing. They're doing well keeping it in tight because that's all Middletown's mostly been running it inside. But see what happens if they pop that outside a lot quicker. I think you're going to see a little bit more yardage.
Second down and seven. Look over to the sideline to get the final play call here. Trips left. Roman in the backfield. Ortiz in the pistol, takes the snap, handoff, Roman cuts left right away, and again, only about 3 yards on the carry, this time to the 42-yard line.
Getting back to just that little chippy run with just a couple here and a few there, and that's about it. Coming up at halftime, we'll talk a little bit about this year's Middletown Athletic Hall of Fame class. Stick around for that.
Third down and four. Three receivers again to the left. Roman in the backfield. Johnson is, I guess you can call him a wing back, kind of behind the guard. Now he'll switch over to the left side. Now he's more a formal wing back. Ortiz claps the hand, takes the snap. Quick pass out, and it is incomplete. Genesiah Ross had to go right through his hands. And he puts the hands on the helmet, and it is incomplete. Fourth down and four.
And dangerously bouncing off his hands because one of the defensive backs on the near side for Donegal, I'm going to say, I'm not sure who that is because I don't have that number now, was very close and probably could have just grabbed and gone.
So here's Taylor again into punt. This is a much better kick. It is going to be fielded at the 23-yard line, and he made the fair catch symbol.
Yeah, made it at the last second and barely put the hand up in front of his chest for one quick swipe.
But, yeah, I'd say Jalen Taylor can throw out that first one. That never happened because that one was a really good kick.
Yeah, that was good. Got a little more hang time on it. Made him wait a little bit. But again, you've only been able to put 3 points on the board here. Now you're pinning Donegal back a little bit more. Don't give away the big plays. Try to get that ball back with some good field position and get a few more on the scoreboard before you go in at halftime. So we get an official's timeout now. A little surprised by I'm not sure what the timeout's for. They've taken a heat timeout.
Heat timeout?
I'm making things up here, but darn if it doesn't look like one, does it?
Yeah, it's 74 degrees out here. I mean,
and the sun is already set.
Maybe they'll be giving out heat timeouts in the late October, early November game. Yeah. I don't know.
Field's in good shape. I'm a little surprised for the first game. There's a lot of spotty areas out there on it. I don't know if it got some disease over the summer in some spots and some dead grass, but I remember last year it being super plush when we started.
Yeah, I know that this summer, early in the summer, was terrible for the grass because there wasn't much rain, yeah. And it was hot.
Yeah, July was scorching. That may have been it.
I know my yard is not looking too great right now. There's a lot of dead spots.
Not as many lantern flies, though. I thought there'd be a lot. No. Maybe they haven't come out yet. I don't know.
Now, last year, there weren't many. So now this year, I'm not surprised there aren't as many because, you know, you expect to see that population just explode.
Right.
Because the next year, you know, you're going to have those little nests everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But, I banded my tree. I barely had any of them on the little nymphs that try to climb the tree and feed. So let's hope that continues to be the trend.
Indeed.
First down and 10 for Donegal here on their own 24. It is going to be actually a different quarterback. Bachman is going to throw it, and it is caught at the 43-yard line. That is caught by Anel Mendez.
Yeah, Mendez wide open in the middle. But what was bad about that, Steve, were there four Middletown defensive backs around him, almost in a horseshoe shape, allowed the wide open pass down the middle, but they were that close that all four got a shot at him on the tackle. That's just too wide open.
In 14 yards and a first down. Again, it's Leland Bachman as the quarterback now. Double wing formation. Bachman just going to run it himself. Cuts back, has some room. Midfield, 40-yard line. One man to beat, and Queen got him enough. He ended up dropping the ball, but falls on it at the Middletown 37-yard line.
Yeah, Hartwick had to come in after that and help out. But man, that's just some good, hard running right there. And Middletown missing, again, getting him at the line when they've got opportunities. Made a nice job at cutting it up at the left and then going to the far right side and able to pick up some extra yardage from that.
So Leland Bachman, the quarterback, and let us not forget that he is the guy who broke the 70-yard touchdown run in the first quarter. Earlier in this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So first down and 10 at the Middletown 37-yard line. Wing and wide to both sides. Man in motion is going to be a give. The underneath give, that is up the middle to Quinn Wamers, and he's going to have enough room for a first down to the 26-yard line.
Yeah, and you wouldn't expect that easily up that middle spot. He had a nice hole, and they're moving him out from the center position. A lot of high tackling. Middletown's also trying to hit up high, trying to just take that hit and put him down. No, you've got to get him lower and tackle him down. And instead, they're just going for the high stuff, and that's allowing them to maintain some balance, keep the legs moving, and keep moving forward. And you've got to stop that momentum, get them low.
First and 10 for Donegal here at the Middletown 26-yard line, 4:14 and counting on the clock here, so no time problems here for the Indians. Leland Bachman under center. Wamers is behind him as the running back. It's going to be a quick throw, and it's bobbled. They're going to call it an incomplete pass. That was close to that lateral line,
right.
But Mendez bounced it off the turf, and the official called it incomplete.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. He was just a little bit in front of the quarterback, still to his left, and just could not hold on to it. We have seen that happen already in this game with losing the ball on a lateral pass. Clock at 3:57, and both teams probably want to get some more points on the board. Donegal wants some on. Middletown would like to get in the end zone after missing a great opportunity early in this game.
Second down and 10 for the Indians. Bachman under center, winging wide to both sides. Again, it's Wymers in the backfield. Wymers going to get the give, tries to bounce to the outside. And finally, he is going to be stuffed at the line of scrimmage for no gain. Kalonic, the guy who finally finished him off, may have lost a half a yard.
But did a nice job, kept the balance, kept bouncing to the outside. Raiders there trying to do a little shirt tackling this time, just grabbing that shirt. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things that all the assistant coaches and head coach Scott Govern will touch upon at halftime. Trying to change this momentum around that Donegal has made here in this contest.
Third down and 11. And again, winging wide to both sides. Wamers in the backfield. Lopez goes in motion. Here's a counter give. Big hole. Leaf. First down and tackled at the 10-yard line. It's the same play they hit on the touchdown run earlier, just to the opposite side this time. And it works for a first down and 17-yard gain. It'll be first and goal. Not first and goal. First and 10 at the 11 it will be.
Yeah, that play is turning into the Achilles heel here for Middletown. They haven't been able to figure out when they're going to run it and, two, how to stop it. They have just let that gaping hole open up on whichever side it's being run to, and it's turning out to be an easy first down and the other time a touchdown for this Donegal team.
So first and 10 at the Middletown 11. Donegal already up 14-3 here, looking for more with 2:30 to go in the half. Wing and wide, same formation. This is going to be a handoff up the middle. This is Alkenberg back in there, running back, and he goes pretty much nowhere. I think they're going to give him 1 yard to the 10.
Alkenberg with the carry. Stop by number 6, Dicier Smith.
Bachman doing a nice job right now running things out there.
The ball remains at the 11-yard line, where it'll be 2nd and 10.
They've got still plenty of time to work with here as it's counting down to 2 minutes remaining in the half.
2nd down and 10. Again, they've got plenty of time here. 2nd down and 10, or 2nd down and 9 at the Middletown 10. This time they'll have 3 receivers, wing and 2 receivers to the right, single wide out to the left. Bachman back to pass, now rolling to the right side. Trying to turn the corner, and Gassert got him by the shirt and drags him down from behind at the 7.
Yeah, hard getting away from that big claw of Joe Gassert, although he had hand surgery last year.
Number 8, Leland Bachman with the quarterback.
He did some bone and ligament damage in his hand during the football season last year, and then re-injured again during wrestling.
7-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 6.
Now 3rd and 6 at the 7 for Donegal. Under a minute to go in the half. Wing and wide either side. Lopez in motion. They fake the pitch to him. Now Bachman going to have to roll, and he is going to be dragged down. He should be in bounds here. And they will keep the clock running here at the 8-yard line.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to bring the field goal unit in.
Well, Middletown has a field goal, so
this will be a 25-yarder from the right hash for Gibbons.
Yep. Braden Gibbons, 25-yard field goal attempt. Snap, hold, kick is low, but it just clears the crossbar. And it is good. So Donegal gets on the board here just shy of halftime, 11 seconds before the halftime break. It is 17-3 in favor of the Indians.
Steve, want to mention the first annual Off the Streets Golf Tournament. It's going to be Friday, September the 6th at Sunset Golf Course. All proceeds from the event support the Dauphin County chapter of the Off the Streets, a nonprofit ministry that helps get the homeless off the streets. Players are needed, and sponsors as well. It's Friday, September 6th at Sunset Golf Course. If you'd like to participate in this, you can call Dennis May at 717-919-9225. 919-9225 for the first annual Off the Streets Golf Tournament at Sunset, September 6th.
Here's the kickoff. It's a little low squibber. Not picked up the first time. Picked up the second time by Genesiah Ross. Cuts the edge. Gets to the corner. Now sidesteps a man. Gets some room, and then will be tackled out of bounds. And unfortunately, Middletown will not get a play on offense because that chewed up the remaining 11 seconds in the half. So the officials are still out here for some reason. I'm not sure. Did they officially declare halftime? I think they have.
Yes.
Now they are going to the
Raiders were trying to get that one more play before the half. They're not getting it.
Middletown.
That takes us to halftime. Our score at the break here, it is Donegal 17, Middletown 3. Stay tuned for the halftime show coming up here on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to noon, or by appointment. Jack's Auto Sales is located at 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230. Their number is 944-7363 or online at jacksautosales.net.
Middletown Lumber has been in business in Middletown since 1955. From hardwoods to framing lumber, Western Red Cedar to custom decks, located at 2 Clinton Avenue in Middletown, it's Middletown Lumber at 717-944-4005 or middletownlumber.com.
DHL Supply Chain is present in 55 countries. With more than 140,000 employees and over 1,400 warehouses and offices. Solving problems and creating solutions, it's DHL Supply Chain. Proud supporters of Blue Raider Athletics and Academics.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select. His number is 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Your number one choice for local sports coverage. This is Super 91, WMSS Middletown.
Welcome back. John Wilsbach, Steve Leedy, Cameron Rubinick, our studio producer. Glad to have you along. We're at halftime. 17-3, Donegal leading Middletown in the season opener here at Middletown's War Memorial Field. Well, you'll be hearing us talking about this in the coming weeks, but already thinking ahead to homecoming here in Middletown. And homecoming is Saturday, October 12th. So jot it down right now on paper. Put it on the fridge. Put it on your calendar. Put it in your calendar and your phone. Saturday, October 12th, homecoming in Middletown. And that means the homecoming dinner, the alumni dinner, and Hall of Fame induction will take place Friday night, October the 11th, at Middletown High School at 6 in the evening. Everyone's welcome to attend. Just get yourself a ticket. You'll make reservations with our good friend Earl Bright III and the alumni folks, and you'll be able to enjoy other friends, family, alumni members out at the alumni dinner. Now, the Alumni Hall of Fame Committee met this year a few times and came up with this year's induction class into the Hall of Fame. Let's read it off to you. The first one is George L. Birdie, class of 1944, played track and field, football and basketball, but he was Middletown's first ever known state champion in track and field. He was the 1944 District 3 and PIAA state champion in the long jump and the 100, as well as the district champion in the 220 and PIAA runner-up in the 220. 1943, also finished in fourth place in the states in the 220. So George L. Birdie, the late George L. Birdie, will be inducted. Mike Lebo, he's a class of 76. Remember him? What a baseball player. Baseball, played basketball as well, but a standout baseball player at Middletown and also at the University of South Carolina. He was drafted. Everyone in Middletown was excited when he got drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays as the first overall pick of the 78 January draft. He played five seasons as a catcher in the minors with Toronto and the Yankees organization, hit 44 home runs as a professional. 1980, he was voted MVP of the Kingston Eagles. I think that the Kinston Eagles. I want to say Kingston, Kinston Eagles. In the North Carolina League in 82, he won the South Atlantic League Championship with Greensboro Hornets, hitting 20 home runs with a 302 average. Longtime player in the East and West Shore Twilight Baseball Leagues. Remember that? Used to play with Mechanicsburg a lot. All-time home run leader of the West Shore League with 258 career home runs there. He was also inducted in the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. One of the four founding members of the Keystone Nationals, where he coached and served as director of players, helping hundreds of boys and girls find their way into college through baseball and softball. Next being inducted will be Dennis Moore, class of 1987, football, basketball, also did track and field. Moore was a two-way starter on the offensive and defensive lines for Middletown team that won the Middletown first ever District 3 football championship in 1986. He was part of that famous two-point conversion tackle against Ricky Waters. Remember that? In 86, preserving the 28-27 victory here at War Memorial Field. He played for Pennsylvania in a Big 33 game in 87. Collegiately, he was a lineman at the University of North Carolina. And he has been a longtime assistant coach for Bob Guyer over at Milton Hershey. So look forward to seeing Dennis Moore. Next one going in is going to be Eddie Noon, class of 78. Played football, basketball, track, and field. In 78, Noon was the District 3 champion in the triple jump at States. He was third in triple jump, fourth in the long jump. In college at Shippensburg, he won the PSAC championship three times in the triple jump, twice in the long jump. In football, he caught 84 passes for 1,563 yards with a Shippensburg record of 18.6 yards per catch average. Between receiving, rushing, and returns, he finished with over 2,000 all-purpose yards. He also set the school record for consecutive games, catching a touchdown pass with 10. Set the school record for touchdown receptions with 23 in 23 games. Six of his touchdowns were from 50 yards or more, including a record-tying 99-yard touchdown reception in 1982. That also led to his induction into the Shippensburg University Athletic Hall of Fame. Next going in will be Jason Pelletier, class of 2003. He played soccer at Middletown. Jason is the all-time leading point scorer for Middletown boys soccer, 66 goals, second all-time, and a program record 62 assists. He contributed 13 playoff goals and 18 playoff assists, 12 of those in his senior season. Pelletier was a key member of that 2001 state championship soccer team, scoring a goal and an assist in a 4-0 victory over Thomas Jefferson. He played collegiately at Rutgers and Robert Morris, where he was an All-NEC back in 2005 and 2006. Professionally, he played primarily a defensive midfielder role with the Harrisburg City Islanders of the USL from 2008 to 2014, appearing in 141 games and scoring 8 goals. Next up is Steph Schaefer. She's class of 1995. Soccer, also played basketball. She is the all-time leading scorer in the history of Middletown girls soccer from 92 to 95. She was a four-year varsity starter, scoring 112 goals and 36 assists here in Middletown. She was the Mid-Penn first team 4 years in a row, Mid-Penn MVP 2 years, All-State 92 as a freshman, Patriot News Big 11 her senior year, also the Toyota Prep Athlete her senior year. Standout basketball player, too, scoring around 500 varsity points in her career. In addition, she also was the Raider mascot. I haven't seen it. Where is the Raider mascot? I've not seen it recently. It's not here tonight.
I don't know. I'm not sure you'd see it if she was in the Raider mascot, because that would be a real short mascot.
Well, we're going to have to fly her in and let her be the mascot again. We need one. So congratulations to Steph. Then we've got Richard Swartz. We know him as Bull Swartz, class of 76, football, basketball, baseball. Swartz was co-captain of the 75 undefeated Capital Area Conference football team. He was the TV host. That was a big thing in the 70s. TV host, first team All-Metro, and Defensive Player of the Year. He was a member of the 76 Big 33 football team, played football 1 year at the University of Miami, and then transferred to Gettysburg College. And he was not only a defensive leader, but an academic All-American at Gettysburg. Defensively, he led Gettysburg in tackles in 78, 79, with record totals that still stand today. In 78, he set the record for solo tackles with 104, and the overall regular season total record of 139, and a single game record of 22 tackles against Western Maryland in 1979.
That's a ridiculous.
That is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
he led the team in 79 with 93 solo tackles, which is still second all time. And he's been involved with our community, secretary of the Blue and Gold Club, member of the Raider Foundation. He's helped coach and coordinate with MABA, Seven Sorrows Athletics, CYO for the Harrisburg Diocese. Richard Bull Swartz going into the Hall of Fame. And last but not least, the team, the 64-65 Middletown boys basketball team. Unbeaten all year until the final game. They won the school's fifth consecutive CAC championship with an unbeaten conference record. They were led by head coach Russ Trimmer. They had a record of 24-1 overall, losing its final game in the PIAA District 3 playoffs against Steele High. Had co-captains John Barnoski. Yeah, Doc Barnoski was on that team. John Good, who passed away this year. Also led by Gary Muma, Donald Shaynor, Jim Sniskak, Tom Hauser, Richard Baker, Henry Brown, Jack Okenauer, Michael Janowski, and Joe Hahn. Team managers, Robert Huffman, Barry Reber, and Alan Moore. Assistant coaches included Hayes Gervin, Gary Sheeler, John Rowan. They averaged 71.8 points per game while giving up just 45.5. That's a 64-65 team.
Yeah, that's called running everybody off the floor for the most part.
You got that right. Those folks will be inducted into the Middletown Athletic Hall of Fame. That's going to be Friday night, October the 11th, at Middletown Area High School. Make sure you get your tickets. You can get it from the alumni newsletter. You can go to RaiderWeb. Go to the alumni page on RaiderWeb.org. And you can see the newsletter there, download the program, or just get a hold of our good friends, Earl Bright III and Earl Bright IV. And if you haven't paid your alumni dues, please do so. But you can call Earl Bright at 944-5454. There's a number for you. And we hope to see you there that night. Get a nice dinner, see the friends, and then we go into the auditorium, do a little of alumni news, and then have the induction.
Hey, you certainly can't get your tickets by the form that's in your TV host. I mean,
right.
it's just not going to be there.
Not there anymore. All right. We're at halftime. 17-3, our score. Donegal leading Middletown, back with your halftime stats and out-of-town scoreboard here on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is open from noon to midnight 7 days a week. The kitchen is open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Membership information is available. That's VFW Post 1620, located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown.
Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is a proud sponsor of Middletown Athletics. Trophies, plaques, T-shirts, promotional items, and much more. Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is located at the Square on Main Street in Hummelstown or online at hughesawards.espwebsite.com.
J&J Pizzeria and Grill is open for carryout daily from 10:30 a.m. until 10 p.m., Sundays 11 to 9. Pizza, subs, bowlies, salads, and fries. Their number is 717-944-1313. That's J&J Pizzeria and Grill, 288 East Main Street in Middletown.
To War Memorial Field. the Lady John Wilsbach here at halftime with Donegal leading Middletown by a score of 17-3. Let's take a look at the halftime statistics. First for Middletown, rushing Lewis Roman, 5 carries for 28 yards. Gavin Paul, 3 carries for 17 yards. Kane Kalonic, 4 for 12. And Harrison Ortiz, quarterback, credited with 3 keepers for a loss of 1. Only one pass caught, and that was Jenasiah Ross, and that is actually in the red, 2 yards in the negative column. Harrison Ortiz, 1 for 4 for those minus 2 yards. Team totals for Middletown in the first half, 15 carries, 56 yards. Lost 2 in the aerial game, so just 54 yards of offense for Middletown in the first half of play. On the other side for the Indians, leading rusher was Leland Bachman. He was running back for most of the time and then took over as quarterback late in the first half. He had 4 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown, but most of them the 70-yard touchdown scamper early in the second quarter. Also rushing, Caden Leaf, 3 carries for 33 yards. Quinn Wamers, 2 for 10. Urel Alkenberg had 6 carries for 18 yards. And Chase Marshall had 3 keepers for minus 6. Receiving, Caden Leaf, 2 catches, 52 yards and a touchdown. Anel Mendez, 1 for 14. Quarterbacks, Chase Marshall, 2 for 3, 52 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Leland Bachman, 1 for 2 for 14 yards. Team totals for Donegal in the first half, 18 carries, 148 yards on the ground, 66 yards through the air. Total 214 yards of offense for Donegal. Scoring recap in the first half. First quarter, Middletown on the board first after a nice punt return by Jenasiah Ross. Middletown got it down to the 4-yard line on the very first play, but went backwards just a bit and had to settle for a Landon Kaiser 22-yard field goal. Made it 3-0. Then Donegal has the rest of the scoring in the first half. Caden Leaf, 33-yard reception from Chase Marshall. Braden Givens made it 7-3. That was the score after 1. Donegal early in the second quarter with 10:57 to go till halftime. Leland Bachman busted off a 70-yard run on a counter play. Givens' extra point made it 14-13. And then right before halftime, at 11 seconds before the break, Braden Givens, a 25-yard field goal. And that gives us a score we have now of 17-3 in favor of Donegal.
And that last score we had was Hershey leading Milton Hershey 15-0 in the second quarter in the Cocoa Bean Bowl. Middletown's next opponent next week is at Milton Hershey. We'll be on the air at 6:40 with the pregame show and a 7 o'clock kickoff next week.
All right, I will just run through some scores that I have on app on my phone here. Lion Mountain leading Lewisburg 15-9 at halftime.
We get them on what's the date there? That's going to be late September, right?
Late September or early October?
October 4th.
Yeah, we're going to get West Perry, too. They are leading Susquehanna 58-0 at halftime.
Ooh, ouch.
Trinity is up in Allentown. They're playing Allentown Central Catholic tonight. Probably a residual schedule of when Jordan Hill was there as the coach. And,
Brian Mickens
was
there.
And, yeah, neither of them are there anymore. So no score on that one yet, but they are up there. Boiling Springs leading Littlestown. That's 20-7, listed as a first quarter score. Let's see. Anything else? Oh, here's an interesting score. Twin Valley leading Berks Catholic 28-3 at halftime.
Brett Myers is going to turn them into a machine just like he did Middletown.
Yes, and here is definitely the score on the scoreboard to look at. West Philadelphia leading Mannheim Central 8-4. That's 2 safeties for Mannheim Central. I've never seen that.
That's like our Boiling Springs game last year.
Yeah, last year it was a 6-5 game. But, yeah, Mannheim Central was up 4-0. And I went on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, just to verify that wasn't, hokey here. But that's actually what it is.
Right.
But it's 8-4 now in favor of West Philadelphia. Canicksburg over Carlisle, 26. That second quarter score. Jamesburg over Gettysburg, 10-7. And Spring Grove over Northern, 17-0. Nordhoffen playing at Cedar Crest tonight. No score on that one.
Well, the Falcons against the Falcons.
Yeah. Redland and Cedar Cliff playing tonight. The Battle of West Shore School District. No score on that. And we are underway.
Mm-hmm.
Here's kick taken by Roman. 25-yard line. 30 flags have been thrown. Roman's going to be caught from behind. We've got a flag all the way back at the 35-yard line. So,
and you know that usually means a block in the back or a hold. Sadly, a great return.
Yep. Holding against Middletown.
It is. You want, now that they're coming out here into the third quarter, down 17-3, that they'll turn into the, you know, the comeback kids or something like that. You know, that'll just show that they're able to make those adjustments quickly at halftime, get a better mentality in the second half, and physically maintain four quarters of good physical play. That they've got to do it on the field, though, and it doesn't help when you start out with a penalty.
So marks it back to the 26-yard line. So Middletown will start there, down 17-3 here to the Donegal Indians in their first ever meeting in history. Two receivers make it wing end. Two receivers out to the left side of the formation. Caden Paul in the backfield. Ortiz steps up, barks out the orders. Now I have
Gavin
Johnson.
Paul.
I'm sorry, Gavin Paul. Oh, who loves Paul? Gavin Paul gets the give, 30, 35, 40, and knocked out of bounds at the 45-yard line, and a little extra stuff at the end there. The official's right there. Paul is just smartly walking away, and everybody just needs to get away. Both guys are, both teams are pushing their guy away. It was Alkenberg for Donegal.
Yeah, and he was holding on to Gavin that whole time when he was out of bounds. Gavin was trying to just shrug him off and swing him off the body, and they ended up down on the ground briefly. The cooler heads prevail. Luckily, you know, the Middletown assistants grab their guys real quick, step in, make sure everything's cleared out.
19-yard run for Gavin Paul, his best carry of the football game. Three receivers out to the right, Middletown at their own 45-yard line. Harrison Ortiz claps the hands, takes the snap. Flags are thrown. Caught by Genesiah Ross. He can't get away. It's going to be no game, but we've got flags way over on the far side of the field, so some kind of snap movement infraction here against the Raiders.
And that play just takes too long to develop. When you're going to do that quick hitch on the side, quick pop to the sideline.
Yeah, it's got
to
be snapping out.
Yes, it's got to be the quick snap, quick turn as that quarterback is turning. He's got to get that arm back, and it's got to be coming out at the very end of that turn. You've got to get that ball over there quicker, because then you're making it a one-on-one opportunity with your receiver. He catches it. He's got to try to beat that defensive back or get around or stiff arm. Instead, he's waiting for it. You get more defensive guys over there. Now everybody's in on the tackle.
Paul start against the Raiders. That'll push it back 5 yards, first down and 15. Middletown back of their own 40. Everybody's in tight here. Looks like what we got a quad over on the left side. So four receivers. They're all pretty tight here. Actually, it's wing and a bunch. So
we'll see if they run it that way.
Well, Johnson's going to go over to the other side. It's going to be a handoff. It's going to be Gavin Paul. He's whipped around and whipped forward past the original line of scrimmage for a gain of 6.
You know, sometimes you're trying to be a little deceptive and make it seem like you're going to put everything over to that side, and that's where the play's going. Instead, just a little belly dive on that right side is all they do.
Gavin Paul in the backfield. Three receivers in a bunch to the left. They're all in tight. Single receiver out to the right side of the formation, and that is Zenon.
They like to line up, look like they're going to run the play, then they stop, they turn to the sideline, get the new call.
There's the snap, play fake. Ortiz still has it, and he has nowhere to go. He is going to be tackled. He gets back to the line of scrimmage. But it's going to be a third down and nine here for Middletown.
Yeah, good coverage on that far side. Donegal not allowing any receivers to get open. I think Mendez was one of those over there covering, as well as Gers, and just not allowing Ortiz to find someone. And then
the guys up front for the Indians did their job. And
that's it.
He had nowhere to go. Third down and nine, three receivers right, one to the left. That is Queen. Gavin Paul in the backfield. Ortiz in the pistol. Takes the snap. Straight back to pass. He'll unload it, and it is way overthrown. Looking for Queen down around the 30-yard line, but he had some pressure and had to get rid of it. And it just falls incomplete, and Middletown will have to punt.
Yeah, he got popped as soon as he released that ball. At least got it out. It was a strong throw. Wasn't where it had to be, though.
Yeah, it's hard to get that accuracy and mustard on the ball when you know you were going to get hit right in the front. You just can't follow through.
Yeah, he's not getting a lot of time there in that position. I think they need to try to roll him out a few more times.
Taylor will kick it away, and it's going to bounce at the 20-yard line. Takes a good Middletown bounce and roll right along the sideline. And it stops at the 8-yard line. So, and Taylor had a terrible punt the first time, but, man, his last two punts have been great.
Well, don't forget that WMSS can be heard on the TuneIn app. If you don't have it, download it. The TuneIn app, you can listen to us anywhere, or you can just go to WMSSFM.com. Now, our full website is currently being rebuilt by our engineer, Tim Starlepper, but we still have a page up there that you can link onto our broadcast at WMSSFM.com, and the full website should be up here hopefully in the next week or so.
So Bachman is back in there at quarterback. Leland Bachman will pitch it out at his leap, and he'll get a couple yards. Looks like he gets out to the 10-yard line.
Now, I think they saw a little more confidence in Bachman when he came in that second quarter, a little bit more poise, even though he wasn't able to get a lot of things done back there, still taking some shots and had a couple little miscues, but he seemed like he was a little bit more poised.
He's up at the 10-yard. And it doesn't hurt that he's a natural running back either.
Right.
And you're putting it in his hands every time. So he'll be in there at, on second down and eight here at Donegal's own 10-yard line, winging wide left. Back to the right, and we've got flags, and it is offsides against Middletown.
Yeah, I think we had Avery Walters there. Sophomore, 5'10", 315 pounds. Just got a little excited.
The ball's moved to the 15-yard line.
And they nailed him for the five.
Second down and three at the 15-yard line now. Wing and wide left. Wing back to the right side. This is going to be a handoff, and it's going to be Leaf getting around the corner. Gets out across the 20, the 25, and knocked out of bounds right around the 30.
Yeah, there hasn't been good containment on that outside pitch, and he was able to take advantage of it and get the first down. And, of course, the other containment problem has been on the counter plays that they've been running. There's certainly some things they'll be looking at on tape after this first game. That's where the players really learn. Sitting down, looking, seeing their mistakes, seeing what their reads and misreads were.
Bachman will be under center here. First and 10 for Donegal. Hand off right up the middle and going nowhere. I couldn't even see who got that ball. Was it Alkenberg? It's either Alkenberg or Mendez.
As soon as he touched it, I think it was Alkenberg.
Yeah.
But what happened there, I think, again, a premature snap. Because I don't think Bachman was expecting it. And the center released it and released it slowly back to him as well.
Yeah, Alkenberg just trying to shake off the after effects of that tackle. He goes off the field here on a second down and 12 now. Running back is Quinn Wehmers. Places Alkenberg. Three receivers to the right side. It's going to be a quick pass, too high. It's loose on the turf. They call it incomplete. Lately, they call it incomplete, I might add.
Because there have been close ones in this contest. Yeah. He likes to throw those balls right to the side and almost a lateral.
And that is the wide side of the field, and that took a long time to get there. So, and Middletown was alert to go out and go after that live ball.
Sure.
The official just didn't blow it dead right away. It took him another second or two. But the official end of the play result is an incomplete pass. Third down and 12. Big play here for the Middletown defense.
Defense got to stop him here. Yeah. Get this ball back and get something new on the board.
Make sure you don't get fooled by the counter. They've gone that in key situations here all night. There's handoff up the middle, and it's going to go nowhere. That's Wehmers, who ran it only about 4 yards. They needed a bunch more. It's going to be fourth down and 8. They'll have to punt it away.
And good coverage by Toro in there.
Stop by number 58, Josh Toro, and number 62, Joseph
Kasser. He has a great penetration up the middle. Drove him back. And again, hey, if you're not getting stuff on your offensive drives, then live on some big plays. Be nice to see Genesiah Ross here return a big one. He's due.
Leland Bachman, the punter. He'll take the snap. Get the boot away. Nice high long kick. Ross will run under it, and he will let it go at the last second. And it takes a Donegal bounce. And it rolls down just inside the 20-yard line.
High, little wobbly, but he had to run over to his left side for it. And the way the ball was kind of spinning as it came down and his body was sideways, he just realized this is raising the odds of it being fumbled. And he just decided the last second play it safe. And maybe one of the coaches down there who was nearby, right there on that side of the sideline, yelled out, "Just leave it." And he stepped away at the last moment.
Yeah, I can't say it was a bad decision because of the worst things that could happen. Three receivers to the left side, one to the right. For Harrison Ortiz, claps the hands, looks at the sideline, gets the official play call. Barks out the orders. First and 10 at Middletown, zone 20. There's the snap. Ortiz pump fake, looking for Ross, and it is incomplete. Ross turned around. He was waiting for it, but it was coming down in the wrong spot. Little more to the outside where Ross kind of turned to the inside, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, it turned him around. He looked to the inside. Ball was to his outside, his left side, so he had to turn the body the whole way around. But I like that throw again, and trying to hit it a little bit deeper than what some of the throws have been thus far in the contest for Ortiz. Just got to get him down a little bit tighter.
Three receivers, tight bunch to the left. Johnson, the wingbacks who are on that side too, so really four receivers that way. Roman will switch over to the right side of the backfield. Harrison Ortiz in the pistol. Takes the snap. Handoff goes to Roman, breaks a couple tackles, sidesteps a man at the 20, and will be tackled across the 25 to the 26-yard line. That was a nice little run there from Roman.
Yeah, a little weaving right and left, like the knee action, just kind of bouncing down a little low and hitting it hard back the opposite direction, putting a few guys out of position. Let's see if they can keep that momentum going with those types of runs. You know, we see them do that, and then they try a few up the middle and go nowhere, and everything stalls out. Got to keep this Donegal defense on guard for everything.
Same formation, wing end bunch to the left, handoff, and Roman fumbled it, has to fall on it and just eat it at the 22-yard line.
Yeah, we've seen some risky handoffs in this game.
Ball carry on the play.
Just off the mark a little bit, and once again, the Raiders just unable to get that going. But again, some young guys out there, and this is how they're going to learn.
So the punt has been is Jalen Taylor will take the snap. And we get the nice long kick spiraling, dropped by Alkenberg. Now picks it back up, goes to the far side of the field, 45, and late flag is thrown. Now this was very late in the play, so we'll see what this is all about.
But it looked like both teams had one player diving in late. That's what's going to be interesting to see how they call this one. I didn't see any face masking going on.
Number two, Uriel Alkenberg.
I thought the question is, was there a late hit or not? And that's what they're discussing.
Late hit, face mask, something at the very end of the play.
Flag on the play.
Personal foul, face mask, Middletown.
Yep.
Penalties of face mask.
That is the 15-yard variety, and that's going to take it all the way down to the 36-yard line of Middletown.
And that just kills you. You're trying to get some field position in this game, and you just keep giving it up.
Decent return tack on 15 at the end of it, and the net punt is going to be a whopping, 12 yards?
Right.
13 yards?
Hey, you might as well have just gone for it if you knew that in advance.
Yeah. So first and 10, Donegal at the Middletown 36-yard line. The Indians lead here 17-3 with 4:29 to go in the third quarter. Wing wide to both sides. Thought somebody left early. Yeah,
that was on the left side, Matthew Lopez.
Full start, Donegal.
Got an unruly toddler down here below us in the press box. My goodness, you're ready to shut the window.
41-yard line.
No, let's not do that. Even though it is not deathly hot like it was last year in his first game of the year. I remember we were just praying that that one fan we could turn it on. But this year not so bad. First down and 15. Wing and wide to both sides.
Yeah, I got the kid to stop.
Yeah.
They gave me a scary face.
Bachman, the quarterback keeper, and he gets up to the 31-yard line. Gain of 10 yards.
I was talking to our good friend B.J. Noon the other day. Told me that one of our Middletown greats is playing football somewhere else. Tajay Brody, who had accepted a couple years ago to play down at Old Dominion and left there, is on the roster this fall for Gannon University up in Erie. So Tajay Brody, now a Gannon football player.
Come back to that in the second handoff up the middle, Waymers. And he's going to be eaten up at the line of scrimmage. No gain, maybe one to the
Waymers with the carry to the 30-yard
line.
62, Joseph Gasser.
So B.J. Noon, I was just digging through random stuff because I now have access to the Patriot News historical articles.
Right.
So I went back and looked at 1984 Middletown Steel High. Who scored the game-winning points in the first time Middletown ever beat Steel High? Or Steel, for that matter. That was B.J. Newton.
I'll be darned.
Pass from Steve Concar.
Look at that.
Third down and 5. Pitch. Ball is on the turf, and it just goes out of bounds. Leaf couldn't handle it, and it rolls out at the 30-yard line. So now a fourth down and about 6 here upcoming for the Indians.
The pitch is fumbled out of bounds by number 6.
B.J. was a member of that 85 basketball team. It knocked off what was considered number one Pottsville. He and Skip Cleland, Bill Mattis, no forgetting a couple other guys offhand, but that was certainly a game that former coach Bob Heiser still talks about to this day, and all the fans still talk about how crazy it was up there in cold country.
Fourth and 5, wing and wide both sides. Quick pass, caught, first down, and knocked down is Chase Gers. That is his first catch, but an important one here for the Indians. It keeps possession of the football down to the Middletown 21-yard line.
Yeah, keeps the possession. They just keep moving the chains, moving the clock. When the Raiders get it, they just haven't been able to do anything since that first play of the game, really.
2:49 left to go in the third quarter. Two-touchdown game here. Donegal, though, looking for more as they're up 17-3. Wing and slot right side, wide to the left. It's going to be Bachman pitches it. Alkenberg will spin right into two defenders for Middletown. He'll get stood up at the 20-yard line, maybe the 19, give him a gain of two.
And you wonder if Middletown had scored on that opening, their first drive when they got it down there immediately to the three, had they been able to punch it in, if that would have done something mentally, sparked, you know, something with more confidence, maybe brought Donegal down a little bit, but you know, they got held to the field goal, and that was it. And since then, haven't been close to getting to the end zone.
Ball spot at the 19-yard line.
Second down, eight.
Let alone the red zone.
Timeout. Somebody? Maybe? Yep, it's going to be a timeout, and it is Donegal. So, Indian State timeout. We'll step out as well. 2:03 left to play in the third quarter. It is Donegal 17, Middletown 3. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Giant Company. Nutrition, health, and pharmacy resources all in one place. And from our table to your table, there's Giant Direct, allowing you to pick up your groceries without leaving your car. Giant Company partners with over 100 local food banks and with Feeding America, the nation's largest organization dedicated to fighting domestic hunger. Giant Company, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Welcome back, Middletown's War Memorial Field. Steve Lee, John Wilsbach, here in the danger zone.
Thanks to our studio producer, Cameron Rubinick, at the controls today. And we got Sam Kostoff batting cleanup back at the studio.
Second down and eight. Handoff. Alkenberg up the middle, trying to push forward, but runs into a lot of Middletown blue shirts, only a yard on the play.
Sam was on that soccer game tonight where Middletown knocked off Lebanon High School 5-0.
We won't give the other stats.
We'll tell you what happened to Sam. Sorry, Sam, we won't embarrass you. Now everybody's wondering what happened. Middletown needs to get something going here. Donegal just taking their time and working the clock and working that lead easily.
Yep, minute 20 and counting here in the third quarter. Slot both sides. They do not get lined up properly. And that time, the guilty party was Matthew Lopez out on the right side. He did not get set in time.
You're headed to this fourth quarter, and they have Middletown has got to get something as far as the changing what play they're running. They've got to do something differently. And, of course, it's all execution as well. We're not seeing the execution there for the first game.
Now, the first thing they got to do is prevent Donegal from scoring a single point here,
mm-hmm.
because that would mean it's a three-possession game, and you do not want that.
No. It'd be over.
They've got to stay within two scores. Two receivers to either side. There's Alkenberg in the backfield. Back to pass to Bachman. Man, open across the middle, and he dropped it. That was Anel Mendez. He had it on the hands, and he just did not catch the football. That was open.
Anel Johnson came in at the last moment there.
And he made sure he didn't catch the deflection off of his own hands, that's for sure. Now it's a fourth down and 12.
All right, get it back here. You'll be heading into the fourth quarter, and you're just going to have to do it then. You're going to have to raise your game.
Yeah, I think after the last field goal attempt, we know that Braden Gibbons does not have this kind of leg, so that's off the table.
Yeah, that was low. We were even surprised it made it over the crossbar.
It was no more than 2 feet over the crossbar from 25 yards. So here's a fourth down and 12. Big play in this game. Here is a play fake. Bachman spins around. He's going to be thrown to the ground by Kalanick back at the 35-yard line. Big time for a sack for Middletown as they'll lose 12 yards on the play, and Middletown gets the football.
Good call there by defensive coordinator Robbie Brodish. Send Kalanick in from that right side and came around, and there was no time at all there. Bachman just had to figure out how he was going to get sacked. It gives them much better field position. Now they've got to start putting it together late here in the third.
All right, 65 yards to the end zone. Handoff goes to Gavin Paul. Cutback, big lane there, 40, 45, and tackled just shy of midfield, calling down the 48 for a gain of 13.
And that's the play I thought they were going to use a little earlier when they had the four receivers in tight together, and they were going to just run it behind them. They didn't. They ran it up the middle that time. This time they did. They get a first down out of it.
Three receivers to the right, one to the left. That is Queen. Paul is in there as the wing back on the left side. 13 seconds to go in the quarter. They motion Paul over to the right side. There's the snap. Ortiz, quick slant, caught. Queen spins, turns around to the sideline. 40, 35, 30. Out of bounds at the 28-yard line. Nice quick slant there. And a confident throw that time from Harrison Ortiz, the freshman.
Now, they let the clock run out. There was still a second on that clock, and he was way out of bounds. They should put that second back up on the clock, give them one more play here this quarter. They show it a zero. But you need to take advantage of all, and I think that's what assistant coach Bobby Pelletier is saying. Hey, there was still time on that clock, and he was well out of bounds. But they're not going to give it to him. They're going to say that's the end of three.
So with that, we'll take timeout after three. Here it is, Donegal 17, Middletown 3. Stay tuned for the fourth quarter coming up here on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Hetrick Center has been serving the Middletown area since 1979. The Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists. They have locations in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. That's the Hetrick Center. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Daly's Golf on East Main Street in Middletown does everything automotive. Tune-ups, inspection, tires, exhaust, brakes, even towing. Daly's Golf is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. That's Daly's Golf. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Welcome back. One quarter to go here from Middletown's War Memorial Field. 17-3. Donegal in front. Middletown on the move here at the 28-yard line. Handoff. Gavin Paul left side. Finds some room. Gets almost another first down if he didn't get it at the 18-yard line. Gain of 10 on the play. Running out the left side of the offensive line. They do wave the chains forward.
Yeah, they were in tight. Everyone was in tight there, and he just said, hey, I'm going to just bump it right to the outside immediately. Saw that room and aimed for there. More urgency here in the offense. I like this because they're playing. They know they have that urgency. They're down by 14.
Wing wide left, slot right. Paul in the backfield. Ortiz. Give Paul right up the middle, and he is grabbed by the shoulders as soon as he got that football, and that was Caden Leaf for Donegal making the play.
Yeah, didn't like going back up the middle on that one. I would rather have seen going to the outside again, exploiting that outside where you're getting some success right now on their corners and getting around the outside.
Same formation. Again, they look over the sideline, get the final call from the coaching staff. Actually, it's wing and slot to the right side. Queen over to the left. Ortiz rolls, now throws on the run. He's got a man. Zenon, touchdown. Nice throw from Ortiz, and an even better catch by Zenon. He had to almost lay out for it, but he put his hands way out in front of him, hauls it in, and it is game on here. 17-9, extra point pending, late flag thrown.
Now, they better not call this excessive celebration, because that was normal celebration by the Raiders. And that's just bad if they call that a penalty against Middletown.
Mm-hmm.
But what a nice pass. Good rollout. He's getting more time getting out there. And put it a few feet from the side of the end zone. So they're calling on unsportsmanlike. Yeah, they're calling it the excessive celebration. There was no excessive celebration. They were jumping up on each other. You know, their first touchdown of the game, first touchdown of the season. They can't do some chest bumping and stuff. That's just bad.
So
now, unless there was taunting, but I mean, you're not going to taunt when you're still losing a game.
All right, so this is going to, they're going to take the penalty on the extra point here, down by 8. So this is going to march it back 15 yards. So now here's Landon Kaiser, the soccer player,
who's got a hat trick in the soccer game today and a hat trick thus far in this one. He's got 3 points.
Did he actually get a hat trick?
I believe he had 2 and then got the penalty kick, so that's 3 goals. That's a hat.
I don't know how that's worded, though. He might have drew the penalty kick.
Oh.
So here he is for the extra point. There's the snap, the hold, the kick is on the way. It's got the distance, and it is good. That was good from another 10 out.
Oh, yeah.
Good boot by Landon Kaiser to get that extra point. So I guess the penalty on the excessive celebration is no harm, no foul. You can say ball don't lie, you know, whatever. So Middletown back in this game here, 17-10 with 10:49 left to play after the 19-yard pass from Harrison Ortiz to Nikias Zenon. And that is the first touchdown pass of Harrison Ortiz's young career here. Hopefully we'll see him anymore.
Yeah. You know, I really like it. He's again, first game, there's not a lot you can say. You're going to see how he develops, and it's going to be a developing thing all season. But as he has struggled in this game, to see him get out of the pocket and throw that deep ball and put it right where it had to be, I mean, that shows you what's to come in the coming years for Ortiz, and you got to be excited about that.
So Kaiser to put the boot to it here and give the football back to Donegal. There is the kick, and it'll be fielded at the 15-yard line by Gers. Gers around the end gets slung out of bounds by Paul. Paul had him by the jersey. And it's going to be out at 32-yard line.
Steve, got to mention the back-to-school festival down at the Middletown Moose tomorrow. They've got some free back-to-school supplies from your friends down at the Moose. Also going to have some other things going on to benefit the Pitching for Pediatrics charity.
Yeah, they're still going to have these things in July. I mean, these kids are going back to school now.
Right.
Now it was, what, 2 days, or yesterday was the first day of school. So it keeps creeping back into summer more and more.
Yeah, games, prizes, ice cream. Check it out tomorrow down at the Moose. I want to say noon to 5 or 6. And something else about that I'll talk about in a second.
All right. Leland Bachman under center here for the Indians. Only up 17-10. It's a counter give. And that is going to go nowhere this time. Now, they do get a couple yards on it. That is Leaf who got it. Give him 3 out to the 35.
I believe they're going to have a dunk tank down there, and our own Brian Kaiser plans to be in the dunk tank, I think, between 4 and 5 o'clock. So if you'd like to put him in the water and let him drown a little bit, get on down to the Moose tomorrow.
No, he does have his fans that might come down there and want to dump him in the water.
I think his team might even come down and put him down a few.
Second down and 7. Bachman up the middle is the handoff there, and that is going nowhere. That is Alkenberg. He got nothing.
And you've got an injured player in Avery Waits. Don't want to see that. Uh, He's hurting a little bit. Trainer Sue gets out there. It looks like it's just cramp, so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, when you see him come out, just lift that leg up. You've never suffered one like that. Folks, it's almost like you feel like you broke your leg, but you know it's a cramp. It just hurts so badly. So he's being tended to for that.
So let's see what Hershey and Milton Hershey are up to here, because that Milton Hershey is Middletown's opponent next week. It looks like it is now 21-0 Hershey late in the third quarter.
Brian just showed up. We're talking about the 2 o'clock.
Oh, two goals for Landon.
Oh, two goals for Landon. Okay, two goals for Landon today. When are you in that dunk tank tomorrow with the Moose?
4 o'clock.
Okay, that's what we said. 4 o'clock. All right. You and I might just have to stop down briefly. Here's your dollar.
There might be a line there. You know?
That's true.
I don't know.
Give him a microphone. He'll have everybody spending their money. Insults galore.
You're good at that. I know.
Oh, that was fun.
That.
Yeah, I've done that already.
Yeah.
Now the when Cuppies have had their festival down there, I did that once, man. Like the guy in Ocean City, Maryland. You just get up there and make fun of everyone.
They're down in 7. They're back ready to play here. Wing and wide to both sides. Wingman goes in motion, but it's going to be fumble. A fumble. Who's got it? Middletown says they do it. Joe Gassert has it again. That's his second fumble recovery in this ball game, and now Middletown is in real business here as they got the football on the Donegal side of the field, down 17-10.
I don't know if Alkenberg didn't think he was getting the ball or not, but he went through off left guard. It was put there for him. He never took it. I didn't think it was that bad of an exchange. I just don't think he was expecting the handoff. And it popped out. Middletown now with a chance to ride some momentum.
Raiders have it at Donegal, 37-yard line, 3 receivers right, 1 to the left. Queen is way out there by himself. Roman in the backfield. Change it up a little bit. Roman now to the left side of Ortiz in the pistol. Claps his hands, takes the snap, looking to throw. Across the middle, it is caught. He held on to it.
Yeah, that's Staines. Josh Staines holding on to it across the middle. His brother played here in Middletown a few years ago. Good pickup of 5 for him.
Brought down at the 32-yard line. It'll be 2nd and 5.
2nd down and 5. Middletown lines up. 2 receivers to the right. They got the ends. It looks like it's a double tight formation here.
Well, you don't want to waste a lot of time here. You know, it's 8:40 and counting. You're down by 7.
There's the snap, handoff. It goes to Roman. He's got a lot of room, 30, and it closes quickly. That was, who got that? Colton Houck.
Yeah, Houck, good containment stopping that run around the end. Because it looked there, I think I saw what you saw. For a while there, Roman looked like he got around that edge. He had some room to go. But it was quickly shut down, but a 3rd and 1, they're going to go with this quickly.
Nope. Down 1. Nope. Now they'll look over to the sideline once again. Now Ortiz will drift back. There's the snap. Handoff. Paul has the first down. Gets through a little crease and short of the 20-yard line. It's going to be 1st down and 10 for Middletown at the Donegal 22-yard line.
Right side of the line that time. Making some room for him, George Hartwick, Tyrell Yealy. They're trying to move things out. Tysier Smith also on that side end.
At the 22, 1st down and 10.
And this is what we have not seen all game. We have not seen consistent, aggressive drives and confident drives. And right now they're showing that if they can maintain it.
Wing in slot left. Handoff again goes to Paul. Cuts back to the middle after starting left side and gets down to the 15-yard line. So Middletown getting chunks at a time here. And with 7, 10, and counting, they trail here 17-10.
And we talked early on in this game. I mentioned about, you know, who's going to have that physicality in the fourth quarter? Who's going to be physically conditioned to go all four quarters? And right now it seems like the Raiders have picked it up a notch and Donegal hasn't.
Timeout taken by Donegal. Will take timeout as well. 7 minutes on the clock here in the fourth quarter. It's Donegal 17, Middletown 10. The Raiders driving. Back after this on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, proudly serves the Middletown area. Michelle and Doug Lutz are proud Blue Raider alumni. Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, has flowers, centerpieces, bouquets, wreaths, and they're a member of the Teleflora Network. Their number is 717-944-5425 or online at creationswithyouinmind.com.
Welcome back. War Memorial Field. Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach here with 7 minutes even on the clock. Middletown trailing Donegal 17-10. Raiders have it with a second down and three at the Donegal 15-yard line. The officials stopped the play momentarily. Now they set the play clock in motion. Wing and slot right side. Roman in the backfield. Ortiz takes the snap. Handoff. Roman goes to the right. Now cuts back. 10-5. Touchdown. 15-yard touchdown run for Lewis Roman. And the Raiders are an extra point away from tying this up.
There you go. We wanted to call them the comeback kids, and that's what they're doing here in the fourth. Seeing more confidence, more strength up front on the line, that's one of the biggest things. We're starting to see that blocking and the pulling and getting around and knocking open some holes and moving guys into the defense, and that's what they're doing. They're getting that hole established now.
And in Kaiser, a much shorter extra point this time. It is up, and it is through. And we are tied here at 17 with 6:53 left to play in the ballgame.
Well, what a big swing of events. And now you've got the momentum on your side. You've got to take advantage of this while you can. You had it first play of the game. Raiders get that ball, go down to the three. Do nothing with it, just go backwards, and after that, just kind of listless as far as doing anything offensively. They'd have a tiny spurt here and there, but now we're starting to see guys all of a sudden show some confidence, some poise, a little more aggressiveness. And who knows what defense can now pull out. Be nice to get another turnover here. They've been able to cause those in this game.
Gers and Mendez back to receive the kick here for Donegal. Landon Kaiser has tended to kick down the right side each time. This time it's straight down the middle. And it's going to be bounced off the shoulder pad of Mendez, but then he catches it, goes right up the middle, 20, 25, 30, and knocked out of bounds. Right around 35, and a lot of players are hyped. They want to get.
Oh, yeah.
Middletown coaches and other teammates are like, get out of here.
Well, it's almost been, you know, the game for them has been almost anemic at times, and now they're finding life. They're creating turnovers. They want the ball. They want the runner to come towards them, let them take them down. Yeah, don't be so caught up in ball tackling. Again, good tackling, fundamental tackling right now. Still got that time on the clock. You start going just strictly for the ball all the time, and you're going to risk giving up more yardage. Stop them here on this drive. Make them three and out.
It's a big series here for Donegal. Game tied at 17 in the fourth. Here's Bachman. He'll pitch it, and it's not going to be much. They may have gotten a yard out of it.
And how confident are they in Bachman now going with a pitch play that, you know, with the turnovers they've had in this game. And you're coming up at the midway point here of the fourth quarter. Good coverage by the Raiders going down that left side. And they still go with the pitch. And that just leaves themselves wide open to fumble that ball and cough it up. I thought they'd try to go with something a little bit more conservative as far as the handoffs and stuff, but then again, we've seen that have problems.
By the way, this is Chase Marshall back in at quarterback now.
Okay.
Marshall, quick throw. It is out. It is caught by Gertz at the 45-yard line. He's tackled just shy of midfield. That is going to be for a first down for the Indians, a gain of 12.
So Marshall, who was taken out there for a while, comes back in. Wasn't a strong throw, but confident enough to get it there. And Gertz able to pull it in and get the first down.
Yeah, it's thought coming into the year that, you know, last year they both played here and there for Donegal, so you didn't know really which quarterback was going to play, and it turns out to be them both.
Yeah.
But again, Bachman does his damage as a running back as well, and he's in there. He's in the slot on the right side of the formation. Marshall takes a snap. Quick throw. Caught immediately by Gertz. Slips the first man and gets tackled from behind at the 40-yard line. That's a gain of 11 and another first down.
Well, and that's what he's so good at. You go to that weak side, the far side had three guys. He's over on this side by himself trying to get that single coverage, even though the Raiders had some guys close to him. And he just wants to get that, break that first tackle, spin off a man and get forward, and he is able to get a few out of it. But they're going to have to tighten up a little bit more now on these receivers. If Marshall keeps going for the little chippy five and outs and the short passes, you know, they still have plenty of time to keep working that down the field. You want to stop that right now. Get another one picked off by Roman. That would be nice.
Yeah. First and 10 at the 41 of Middletown for Donegal. Chase Marshall under center. And off Alkenberg. Nowhere to go. There's Joe Gassert again. He comes out with the football, but
he was already down there.
Yeah, he was already down.
But yeah, meet our buddy Joe. Joe has been with this program all these years. In fact, the COVID season, he had an opportunity to go to Steele High if he wanted. He said, "No, I'm staying at Middletown. I'll sit out the football. I'm still going to wrestle." And
that was the hazing season, not the COVID season.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. The hazing season.
I'm like COVID season? That's
yes.
4 years.
I'm thinking in my brain hazing, but yes, the hazing season.
Second down and 11. 3:48 and counting to go here. We're tied at 17. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Marshall rolls. Now he'll throw, looking deep, downfield, and it is going to be broken up. Queen got his head around at the right time and was able to bat that one away.
But close. He was not where he needed to be as that ball was coming down for Mendez. He was able to at least respond back at the last moment and get in on it. That was too close for comfort. And Marshall does a nice job at finding the deep receiver. And Queen, we'll keep tabs on him this season. He's just a sophomore, 6'2", 150 pounds. A lot of good sophomores on this team.
He's got the height to play cornerback.
Yeah.
You like to see guys over 6 foot. Here's a third down and 11 out, the 42. The counter give again. This is going to be Bachman. Cuts up. He is not going to be caught. Touchdown. Counter play again.
It has killed them all game, and they have not had an answer for it. The counter play is just misdirection. Looks like the play's going one way, running back's taking it the other way. Many times you're pulling a guard from the opposite side to help out on that opposite side where the running is going to go. And another giant hole there in Middletown again, unable to stop the counter.
Here's Givens for the PAT. There's the snap. The hold is down. It's low. I don't think he got it. Oh, he did. He just skipped it again. Just that one almost grazed the crossbar.
Yeah.
But it's good, and Donegal leads 24-17. So we'll take timeout. 3:25 left to play in the fourth quarter. It's Donegal 24, Middletown 17. Back with the conclusion after this here on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Tim Clark. Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select, is number 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Your number one choice for local sports coverage, this is Super 91, WMSS Middletown.
3:25 to go here at War Memorial Field. Donegal has just reclaimed the lead here, 24-17. Raiders will have 3:25 on the clock here to try to come up with a game-time drive.
Yeah, well, at least they've got that much time, but yeah, they're going to have to put it together quick.
Kick fielded by Roman, 25-yard line, 30. 40, Roman trucks a guy, 40, 45, tackled from behind, just shy of midfield. The Middletown will have it at their own 49-yard line. A good return by Lewis Roman.
I don't think some of his teammates realized that he was going to run over that first guy, and they kind of held back and slowed up and didn't get ahead of him when they probably could have, because he got slowed up there a little bit and then broke free. It was kind of like, well, I have nowhere to go now, and no one blocking in front of me. His teammates were still behind him a little bit.
The Raiders have 3:16 on the clock to try to pull this out. Three receivers in a bunch on the right side. It's going to be Paul running that way. Has some room, 40, finds the sideline, and out of bounds at the 33-yard line.
And look, keep running that way. Keep running behind the blockers. That earlier up the middle stuff wasn't getting them much, even though the line is getting better penetration now into the defensive territory. But the fact is, when you're running to the outside with Paul or Roman, and you've got a couple receivers blocking there for you, it's making things happen.
Paul almost at 100 yards here. He's got 96 on 11 carries. Three receivers in tight on the right side. One to the left. Ortiz takes the snap from the 33. Handoff again to Paul. Going outside. Now he'll just burrow over the defender going forward. Gets about 4 yards to the 29. That puts him right on 100 by my count.
Under 3 minutes now and counting. Get a little more urgency out there. Give Paul the break. Bring Roman back in. They've got to start lining up a little bit faster now.
Second down and six at the 29. Three receivers in a bunch to the left side in tight. One out wide, that's Zenon.
Using up too much time here.
There's the snap. Fake to Roman. Pass deep down the middle, and it is overthrown. Over the head of Queen. By a couple steps, an incomplete.
Well, it stops the clock on the incompletion, but I didn't like how much time they used up getting that play set up. You got a clock ticking, and you're still out near the 28. You need a touchdown. Use it wisely.
2:19 to go. Third down and six. Two receivers left and right. They're all in tight. Roman in the backfield. Ortiz steps up, puts out some orders. And there's the snap. It's a push pass. It is Ross trying to get around the corner, and he will get knocked down at the 25-yard line and out of bounds, I thought. They're still.
He rolled the arms around. Yeah, I think they're going to let it keep ticking. Yeah, he did not give him the out of bounds there. Now you've got a fourth down.
So it's a fourth down and two. Raiders must convert. Now it's going to be timeout taken by Middletown. So I think Middletown still has two timeouts left. They do. But that basically eliminates the timeout, and get the ball back. So Middletown's got to come up with their best play to get 2 yards here. To keep the drive alive with 1:49 left to play, trailing Donegal here 24-17.
Well, first and foremost, you've got to get the first. Whether it's 3 yards, 10 yards, whatever, you just need those 3 yards. They should have called that timeout immediately after that play. It was fourth down. Get your team set up, instead letting clock tick away. So here from the three-minute mark down, they have wasted a lot of time, and that's something that they're going to have to work on in the future, that two-minute drill.
And we'll call it a fourth down. Looks like maybe a short three. Game basically on the line here for Middletown. Two receivers to the right, two to the left. Now they're going to wave one back to the right side. So three that way. There's the snap. Ortiz rolling. He's looking to throw. He's looking deep, looking for Ross. He makes the catch. He's got it. It is a touchdown. Great catch by Genesiah Ross. And Middletown, once again, an extra point away from tying this game.
And he could have run it if he wanted to. He had the room to pick up the first down and run it. But he rolled out again to the right, throwing down that right side and just hugging down the line, and Ross falling down backwards, able to keep the feet in, and a chance here to tie it up. And we see how much better of a passer he is so far when he's rolling out. What an arm on his rollout passing in this game.
And Middletown's going to ice Landon Kaiser here.
First I'm calling for time, now they use a timeout. So, I guess they just want to make sure everyone's set. I'm missing someone on the line.
Yep.
Make sure everybody's right.
Oh, what a first game we have here for this Middletown football team this season.
And the Raiders, through three quarters, were kind of anemic, lulling us to sleep at times, making some mistakes, not getting much, and just kind of hanging in there. And we were wondering if they could do it in the fourth and open it up, and they have done that. Thanks to some big pass plays with Ortiz, the freshman, and finding the sophomore. Lots to be excited about the next few years of Middletown football.
So Landon Kaiser to try to tie this one up again. There's the snap. The hold is down. The kick is up. And the kick is good. We are tied once again. This time it's 24-24 with a minute 42 left on the clock. And one thing we do know, that Braden Givens on the other side, field goal range is minimal.
Right.
So
how he's even made it over on some of those kicks, I don't know.
And, you know, Kaiser looked like he's good from 40.
Oh, yeah, 40, 45 at least.
45.
Yeah.
I would be comfortable with him at just trying a 45-yarder.
But I'll tell you what, I like the intestinal fortitude of this Middletown team. Came out in the second half, had made some adjustments, still not able to get anything really going in that third, but you could see it was coming along, and in the fourth they really turned it up a notch. The confidence light bulb like turned on, and all of a sudden you were seeing more confidence. Al Ortiz was rolling out, making his passes, running behind the blockers, getting to the outside, making the cuts at the right place. Need a good kickoff here to keep him deep.
Here's Kaiser. He just rolls it on the ground, and it's picked up by one of the up guys at the 30-yard line, and he's just going to run to the center of the field.
Right, they wanted to squib it.
Yeah, I think they wanted to keep it away from the return guys.
Okay.
The two deep guys, because that went to Mark Silvestri, whose name we have not called all night. So I'm not going to call that a bad,
We're on the air next week at Milton Hershey, 6:40 airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff. And we're back home in 2 weeks with Greencastle Antrim here at Middletown.
All right, so Donegal with the football at their own 36-yard line. It is going to be a pitch. That is to Bachman, going to the outside. He's going to be strung out of bounds after about an 8-yard gain.
I'm surprised they didn't run another counter play.
Anyway, I'd be dialing that back up.
Yeah. I mean, that has been the Raider killer so far in this game. And going with that pitch play, they're not afraid to take those chances at flinging the ball.
Marshall under center, second down and three, 1:30 on the clock after he went out of bounds that time. There it is. There's the counter. This time Middletown stops it from being super damaging, and it's just going to be a gain of a couple.
Sears Smith
getting the stop.
Read that, yeah. And they've got to. When you see that opening, see that guard or tackle pulling, you've got to shoot through that hole. As you know, there's something getting ready to come through it. And he was right there to welcome him. Third and one.
Yeah, third down and a yard with 56 seconds to go. Donegal still on their own side of the field at the 45-yard line. Here is Marshall rolling. Now he's going to cut it up the field and gets the first down at the 50-yard line. So a gain of five,
10, Chase Marshall,
and they'll move the sticks.
Now, do you start taking some shots here? You know, he's had some good success with those 20-yarders downfield along the side, and I wonder if they'll try to go back to that.
I don't know. We'll see what they do here.
Yeah, look out for Gers and Leaf.
They're not in too much of a hurry.
No.
I can tell you that. There's Marshall taking the snap. Kind of a mix-up there. Now rolling, looking, just throws it. It is caught by Alkenberg, and he is going to be tackled after a gain of 8 yards.
A good tackle on that far side by Hartwick. Yep, Hartwick is the son of Dauphin County Commissioner George Hartwick. Saw a big hold over there on that right side during that play, but they didn't see it, obviously, down on the field.
So, is that the last timeout? I don't know if it came off the board yet.
I don't know either. I didn't mark that down.
So there's still one left on the scoreboard.
Those of you wondering, Lebanon Valley College football is also back on our schedule for this fall. Join me, Brian, and Steve. We'll be out LVC games all season. They don't begin until Friday, September the 6th. In a couple weeks, Middletown will have a game that night. We'll have LVC on the internet at WMSSFM.com on the stream. So you'll be able to listen to us there. But the rest of the season on Saturday games, right here on 91.1 FM.
The second down and two here for Donegal. 16 seconds left there at the Middletown 42-yard line. Let's see how they line up here. Gertz is wide to the left side. Actually, it's slot over on the left and the right. Marshall takes the snap. It is a quick throw and going to be out of bounds at the 32-yard line. You got that, Mendez.
Yeah, and now you've got to start going for it. You just got to try to throw it. Just a quick, deep ball if you can. I don't know if they want to just go sideline or go for that deep post pattern with the slant down the middle. But you've got a chance to take two quick shots here. What's interesting is Marshall's going to line up under center.
Marshall, shoulder shimmy, now throws it down the sideline, and it is broken up. Good defense there by Genesiah Ross.
Yeah, Ross. Good coverage.
The ball remains at the 33-yard line. It'll be second
right where he had to be, because Mendez or Leaf, one of those two, was down there and just went down with a 15, 20-yard stop, looking for a little hook back. Could be the final play here. We'll see with 6 seconds, depending how long it executes. But, you know, Marshall just took the 2-3-step drop back there and just unleashed.
So here we go. Timeout going to be taken by Middletown here. This is the final timeout for either side. So Middletown just wants to make sure that everybody knows the situation. And, you know, if I'm Donegal, I'm just chucking.
Because
if you get a penalty, you know, you get... It's high school, though. It's only a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
So it's not like it'll move the football all the way down to the goal line in one penalty. And even with 15 yards here, Givens ain't making that.
No. But you want to make sure that they're all on the same page. You've got everyone covered out there. You don't need some Miami Dolphin hook and lateral at the last second to throw you off. You know, no trick plays. I don't think, personally, Donegal has any up their sleeve in this contest. But you've got to make sure everyone knows their assignment here.
There we go. Marshall under center. Winging wide to each side. Bachman. He'll lateral it back to him. Now he'll just chuck it down the field, and it's going to be broken up. And incomplete, and that will take us to the end of regulation, and we head to overtime.
And there was your trick play. You know, they tried that earlier in the game unsuccessfully. Never even got the pass off on the first time they tried the lateral throw, but right there, they thought that was the best they could do, and they went for it. Give them credit. But give credit to this Middletown team. They never quit in this game. They weren't playing that well, making little mistakes, not very good execution at times, but they hung in there, made their adjustments at halftime, worked on it in that third quarter. In the fourth quarter, you could really see the sense of urgency. They knew they needed two touchdowns, and they got it. And then to give another one up and then get another one is just amazing. Goes back to that field goal there that Givens put over. You take that away, any of those kicks that he has, and Middletown already has his game. But unfortunately, it's been an even battle, and we will go extra.
By the way, last time Middletown was in overtime was October 30th, and I remember that game over at Henry Hershey Field, where I believe Middletown kicked a field goal, and then Milton Hershey scored a touchdown to win it.
What year was that?
2009.
Was Mills on that team?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Mills? No. No, Mills played on the 2016
team. Okay, I'm back too far.
Yeah.
All right.
I remember the...
We all...
At Gettysburg game, another overtime game. I think it's only been Middletown's only been in overtime three times. Mm-hmm. It was against Lower Dauphin when Lower Dauphin had their team that went to Altoona and played Penn Hills way back in 1995. And then the Gettysburg Middletown game, that was in 1997. And there should have been one more, and I think it was in 2003. Yeah, the homecoming game in 2003. It was nothing after regulation in that game against Gettysburg, and Middletown ended up winning 24-17 in four overtimes.
Now they started from the 10.
Yes, they started.
If we're
from
not
the
10. Mistaken. Yes. Okay, so from the 10, that's where they'll do it. Both teams will get an opportunity.
So this will be the fifth overtime game in Middletown history.
Middletown rallying back from a 17-3 deficit, a 24-17 deficit for their season opener. At this point, you hate seeing either team lose when you've worked so hard to come back, or Donegal trying to keep their lead. Two quad A programs that still struggling a little bit. But as you mentioned at the onset of the broadcast, first ever meeting against Donegal, which includes students from the Marietta and Mount Joy area. Schools located down there between 230 and 441, just off 772. So you're wondering where that is, just north of Marietta.
And really, I think maybe a compromise kind of on neighbor and level of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because Donegal, not that terribly far away.
No.
And, you know, especially with the groups that these two teams have, as you can see, pretty evenly matched. So, a good game to start with here to start the 2024 season. Middletown will
start
be on offense first, and then we'll go down here to our right here into the, we'll say, the Middletown end zone fence standards.
Mm-hmm.
It was more fun when the bleachers were down there. I remember that's where I was in 1984. By the way, 40 years ago you look at that 1984 team.
Yeah.
This is the 40th anniversary of that team, and that was Dennis Etsy's third year.
Eric Reed was the running back.
They beat Lower Dauphin on the last game of the season to become co-champions, and that really was the springboard for Dennis Etsy and this Middletown program in the 80s.
Yeah.
So that was 40 years ago.
I think we lost to Central York in the playoffs first round at Mechanicsburg that year.
Yes, we lost to Hershey in the regular season.
Okay.
And we lost to McDevitt in the opening game. So we were 9-3 that year. And Hershey ended up being the district champions in AA, which is what Middletown was then. They they turned around and beat Central York in the final.
All right, so from the 10, four chances here.
Yep, first and goal at the 10. First leg of the first overtime. Here's a pitch. Lewis Roman going to the left side, trying to bounce to the outside. Can't get away. He gets tackled by Colton Houck. Got him by the ankles and no gain on the play.
Didn't get the blocking that he needed on the outside. No containment to stop that defense from moving over to the far side. And Roman just really never had a chance where to cut up.
The football will still call it on the 10. We'll call it a gain of nothing.
And you can still kick a field goal if you want. Once you get to fourth down.
That's why it's more advantageous to go last.
Right.
Wing, slot, right side. Roman in the backfield. Ortiz looks to the sideline, now creeps up, barks some orders, drops back into the pistol. Second down here in overtime. Here's the handoff. Roman up the middle, 5-yard line, trying to break the tackle. He does into the end zone. 10-yard touchdown run for Lewis Roman. And that's his second touchdown of the game. And Middletown has their first lead. Well, since it was 3-0. 30-24.
Nice lead blocking there. Adiel Johnson, the fullback, 5'10", 175 pounds, led the way and stayed with it. Moved the players right and left, kept pushing them, and he just stayed on his butt. And Roman was able to take it in following behind him.
There's Kaiser for the PAT. There's the snap. The hold is down. The kick is on the way, and it is good. So Middletown scores on second down, and now Donegal will get their crack at it here with Middletown up 31-24.
A seven-point game for Kaiser, and two in soccer today. He's having a fun time. He's a competitor. You folks always see him playing basketball. One of the guards on the Middletown team. We should have another good team in basketball this year. They've had a great summer league going on. From what I understood, had some good games over the summer. A couple newcomers, some young players as well, making some impact. So things are looking up there as well.
All right, so here's Donegal's possession. The second half of the overtime here. If they do not score, it is over. Marshall under center. It is a pitch. It's coming back to Bachman. He's going to cut up to the 5, and the ball is, nope, they're going to say the ball was down, or is Bachman was down at the 4-yard line.
Yeah, went down on his back. Hit down, but was trying to stretch it out forward a little bit more instead of protecting it, and it popped out. They're saying the back went down at the 4, and that's where they're going to mark it.
Question is, if they score, what do?
There you go again. Oh, you mean?
They kick the extra point, or they try to go for 2.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Wing and wide either side here, and second down at the 4-yard line. Handoff goes Alkenberg, he lost it, and Middletown comes up with it. Gavin Paul has the football. Game over. The Raiders win 31-24 in overtime.
Tried to go to the right side. Really never had two good hands around that football. And the Raiders just crushed him. Ball popped out. Paul fell on it. And Donegal blows the lead. Middletown rallies back in the fourth. The comeback kids.
What a first ball game here in the 2024 football season. Stay tuned here. Post-game show is coming up. John Wilsbach will be down on the field with Scott Govern. The head coach of the Middletown Blue Raiders as Middletown pulls this one out. Our final score tonight in overtime, it was Middletown 31, Donegal 24. Back after this on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Dominic D. D. Francisco Memorial American Legion Post 594 is located on East High Street, Middletown. American Legion Post 594 is available for your next party or function. New members are welcome. And don't forget about the dinners and entertainment on Friday and Saturdays at Dominic D. D. Francisco Memorial American Legion Post 594. They've got a Facebook page for more information.
The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. They cook up a wide selection of pasta, steaks, seafood, salads, and desserts. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Tuesdays. That's the Brownstone Cafe of downtown Middletown, a proud sponsor of Blue Raider Athletics.
The Middletown Moose Family Lodge 410 is Middletown's family fun center. They have dinners Tuesday through Saturday nights and host activities year-round. Membership is available. The Middletown Moose, located at 100 Mill Street in Middletown. Good luck, Raiders!
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to noon, or by appointment. Jack's Auto Sales is located at 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230. Their number is 944-7363 or online at jacksautosales.net.
Middletown Lumber has been in business in Middletown since 1955. From hardwoods to framing lumber, western red cedar to custom decks, located at 2 Clinton Avenue in Middletown, it's Middletown Lumber at 717-944-4005 or middletownlumber.com.
Welcome back here. Middletown's War Memorial Field. Raiders victorious tonight, 31-24 in overtime over Donegal. John Wilsbach down on the field. Brian Kaiser now with us in the booth here, pulling double duty today. Congratulations to your team with the 5-0 win at Lebanon. And now let's go down and talk to Scott Govern, who is the football coach victorious here today.
Thanks, guys. Scott Govern, head coach for Middletown. He just said that was entertaining. Yeah, I would say the end of the game, the first few quarters, you had to be scratching your head, huh?
Yes, the first quarter, the first half, we didn't play well. They did everything we knew we were to do. We were prepared for it, and we just didn't execute. When we got in at halftime, we talked about complete games. We knew we were hurting ourselves, and we were like, we just got to finish. And it, we outplayed them in the second half.
And it seemed like that, especially going into the fourth quarter, they raised the game a little bit. There was a little more confidence there, a little better execution too.
Oh, absolutely. And they just, it was one of those, when we were at halftime, we didn't look exhausted. We just kind of looked a little stunned, and they just woke up and came out and played.
And you could see in the fourth quarter, the offensive line for Middletown starting to take a little bit more control down the trenches, something they weren't doing earlier in the game.
We challenged them. We said, you know, you got to man up, step up. And they did. Coach Dukes pushed them, and he got them motivated.
Your running backs took advantage, more so on the outside, starting to get some blocking out there, but Roman and Paul doing a great job.
Yes, they're a great 1-2 punch, and we knew if they get going, we'd be in good shape.
Talk a little bit about Ortiz, a freshman, first game, and just improving as the game went on and really came to life here in the fourth.
Oh, yeah, I was so impressed with him. And, I, you know, as a freshman, the first half is a deer in headlights. We all get that. And then the second half, he just played ball like we've seen him do all summer and in camp.
What does this mean, the fact that you struggled last season, 2 years ago, we know what happened, and now here you are starting off this season with some high goals, some high expectations to get this program back to respectability? You have to be pleased with the outcome.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time, but, you know, we have a vision. We want to restore the pride and the powerhouse that this community was. That's what we want to get back to, and we appreciate it every day.
All right. And the crowd certainly loves it, too.
I loved it. I love their support, and this was a great night for us.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Scott Govern, back upstairs to you guys.
All right, thank you very much, John. And again, Middletown, the crowd, the team, everybody pretty juiced here tonight on a great victory for Middletown to start this campaign. Last year, they had one win. They beat Camp Hill, a team that actually made a good deep run in the playoffs.
But, and Camp Hill was missing their quarterback that night.
And it
was a very tough year, but the victory last year was just getting back on the field and getting back to football.
Absolutely.
And this year, now this team has some goals. And this team really believes coming into this season that they can get back to the playoffs. They think that they can do enough this year to do that. This game was extremely important in being able to do that because it does a couple things. You win that non-divisional game right off the bat, it gives you momentum. And the way they did it, this is going to carry this team into next week's contest against Milton Hershey.
And Middletown did not play well in the first half of this game. They got down by two touchdowns and were on the brink of going down three late in the third quarter. But the defense held firm, and they found a way to tie this game up and get it to overtime where they made the big plays they needed to, Roman the touchdown run, and Gavin Paul gets the fumble recovery on defense.
What this team did is exactly what you expect a young team to do. And there's a lot of youth, especially when you have a freshman quarterback, and you have other players who are making initial appearances on the varsity field at a young age where they're not seniors and they're going out there and it's a new world. And that first half, you saw that. In the second half, you saw a team that grew up immensely. So many times a coach will say the biggest growth of a team is between week one and week two. I think the growth of this team from first half to second half is a very similar sort of growth because this team came out in the second half, they were confident, and they were dominant at times on offense. When they wanted to move the ball in that fourth quarter, they did, and what a catch by Jenny Ross in that corner to pull in a touchdown pass that they desperately needed. And the resilience of a young team cannot be underestimated here. Understated by Donegal scores a late touchdown. After you've made a big comeback to get tied in the game down two scores, they score that. That's a gut punch that a lot of veteran teams can't recover from. Not a problem. Big kickoff return sets them up, and the offensive line just clearing the way for the running backs after that. You saw the same thing in overtime where they busted in the end zone with Roman. And what a fantastic start to this season for this Middletown team as Gavin Paul recovers the fumble to end the game.
And you said Genesiah Ross's catch was outstanding. So was Nikias Zenon's. They were two outstanding catches in the aerial game. You
got to make plays for your young quarterback. Those guys did. And one of the strengths of this team that many times that Middletown has not necessarily had in the past is athletic wide receivers that are going to go up and challenge for the football. They have that this year. Some great catches today by that receiving crew.
All right, let's take a look at the numbers here. First for Donegal, their leading rusher was Leland Bachman, 9 for 46, two touchdowns. Again, he had the long counter runs that hurt Middletown earlier in this football game. Caden Leaf, 8 carries, 54 yards. Uriel Ackenberg, 12 for 21. Quinn Wamers, 4 for 15. And Chase Marshall, the starting quarterback, 4 keepers for a loss of 1. Receiving, it was Chase Gers, 3 for 51. Anel Mendez, 2 for 25. Hayden Leaf, 2 catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. And Uriel Alkenberg, 1 for 8. Passing, Chase Marshall, 6 for 9, 93 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Leland Bachman was 2 for 6 at quarterback, 423 yards. Team totals for Donegal on the ground, 37 for 235, 116 through the air, 351 yards of offense for Donegal. For Middletown, leading the way on the ground was Gavin Paul, 12 carries for 100 yards on the nose. Lewis Roman, 11 carries for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kane Kalanick, 4 for 12. Harrison Ortiz, 4 keepers, lost 1 yard. Receiving, Genesiah Ross, 3 catches, 27 yards and a touchdown. Nikias Zenon, 1 for 19. That was good for a touchdown. James Queen, 1 for 24. Josh Staines, 1 for 5. Harrison Ortiz in his freshman debut here for the Raiders, 6 of 12, 75 yards, and those 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Team totals for Middletown, 171 on the ground, 75 through the air. So 246 yards of offense for Middletown. We'll go through the scoring recap. Kind of a long one here with all the points that were thrown up in this game. Middletown scored first. Landon Kaiser, 22-yard field goal. It was 3-0, and that'll be the last time Middletown scored for a while in this game. Donegal late in the first quarter. Caden Leaf, 33-yard touchdown reception from Chase Marshall. Gibbons the extra point. It was 7-3 after one. Early in the second, the first of those big counter runs by Leland Bachman. This one of 70 yards. Extra point made it 14-3. And then right before halftime, Braden Gibbons a 25-yard field goal. That gave us our 17-3 score at the break. And that's the way it would stay for a long time in this game. Until 10:49 in the fourth quarter. Okay, Zenon, 19-yard reception from Ortiz. Kaiser made the extra point, and I believe that was the one.
That was the long one, yeah.
That they took the unsportsmanlike penalty on the extra point, which I don't blame them for doing in a close game.
Oh, 100%, but and it was not a good call either.
No, it was not. And as we said, ball don't lie.
No, ball don't lie.
And Kaiser drilled it. It was good from another probably 10 beyond that. So that was a key point in the game. Then Lewis Roman scored from 15 yards out, 6:53 left to go in the ball game. Kaiser with the extra point, tied it up at 17. Then Donegal struck back. Leland Bachman, another one of those long counter runs. It was a 42 yards. Gibbons made the extra point at 24-17. Donegal led, but Middletown strikes back on that 26-yard touchdown pass from Harrison Ortiz to Genesiah Ross. A great catch with his shoulders just landing square on the ground. And gets the extra point, and you knocked us out. So I think we're okay here, but yeah, Kaiser makes the extra point, 24-24. And then in overtime, Middletown got the ball first. You never really want to have the ball first in overtime, but Middletown had to deal with it, and Lewis Roman ditched any bad things about that as he scored on the second down play from 10 yards out. Kaiser with the PAT, 31-24. And then first down on the other side, it was Bachman for Donegal. He got 6 yards, but on second and goal from the 4, it was handed off to Alkenberg. He coughs it up, and Gavin Paul falls on the football and closes this one out. Middletown gets the W here in their first game of the season, and they're already playing with house money now. Last year, they only had one win, and this year, they've already done as well as they have last year when you look at the wins and the losses, so...
If your goal is one win, then you're probably not a very good football team. This team is looking for a lot more, and it's a fantastic start to the year. The emotions will be high this week, and I'm looking forward to talking to Coach Govern at the end of next week just about how practice is going to be, because these guys are going to be sky high after this victory.
And you know what one win at the start of the season gives you. It gives you that fire. You want more of it. It's like an addiction, and hopefully that's the momentum they take from this game.
Yeah, and I think it's one win like this one. Coming back from 14 down at the beginning of the fourth quarter, everybody's like, Middletown didn't look that good most of this game, and everybody's probably has their head down, and boy, it's looking up now.
The coaches have said about this team during the preseason that there's something different about this team and that it has been an absolute joy to work with this group because of just how well this team has meshed together and how really hard that they've worked. Sometimes that's lip service, but it's not with this group. And this group really showed tonight exactly how much that hard work has paid off.
Yeah, and that fourth quarter was the key to it all, because the first three was learning, growing, improving, setting your sights on doing and performing better. And if they came out in the fourth, if they can put that fourth quarter into the whole season, You know, we're going to see some good things. Yeah, they're going to take their lumps at times, but other times they show what they can give us now.
They're young, but they're hungry, and they're ready for Milton Hershey.
All right, let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, some of the other scores we see. Trinity, as mentioned, was up in Allentown playing Central Catholic. Fourth quarter score there, 18-0 in favor of Allentown Central Catholic. Lion Mountain was ahead early in their game against Lewisburg, but Lewisburg comes back to beat them 26-23. West Perry, the final there, was 58-0, same as the halftime score against Susquehanna. Seals Grove beat Juniata 14-6. Boiling Springs over Littlestown tonight 35-7. Manheim Central leading West Philadelphia 17-8. That is in the fourth quarter at the goofy game where Manheim Central had 4 points on the scoreboard at 1 point. Southwestern leading York Suburban 26-6 at halftime down at the are they doing that at Central York, Southwestern York Suburban? I think they are. Mechanicsburg over Carlisle, 33-6 out of fourth quarter score. Let's see, anything else from this area? Minersville over Halifax, 39-0. Bethlehem Catholic was at East Pennsboro tonight. It's another weird pairing in week one, but Bethlehem Catholic winning 28-14 there. Shippensburg beat Big Spring, 28-7 is the final. Twin Valley, 42, Berks Catholic, 16. Manheim Township over Cumberland Valley, 42-14. Hershey beat Milton Hershey, 28-0. So Milton Hershey not only going to come into the game with Middletown next week with no wins, but they have no points. Central Dolphin got clubbed by Central York. That would have been the game at Central York tonight. 47-0 there. Chambersburg over Gettysburg, 24-17. Palmyra over Lemon, 40-8. And that's about good. Cedar Crest beat Lower Dolphin 45-16.
And anything you didn't hear, you can see on your local news probably in about an hour or so.
And we have some soccer scores.
Boys soccer, Middletown beats Lebanon 5-0. And in girls soccer, the girls of Middletown beat Lebanon 8-0.
All right, that's going to wrap things up. Game one of this season, and we hope it's exciting every week for you. We thank you for tuning in. We look forward to you next week. We're at Milton Hershey, 6:40 with the airtime Friday night, 7 o'clock with the kickoff with Steve, Brian, and I. So we look forward to seeing you next week. All right, this one went overtime. Middletown comes back. Blue Raiders 31, Donegal 24. Middletown 1-0 on the season, Donegal 0-1. For our studio producer, Sam Kostoff, and also Cameron Rubinick. For Steve Leedy, Brian Kaiser, I'm John Wilsbach. Middletown victorious 31-24 in overtime. You've been listening to the Blue Raider Sports Network. You've been listening to Blue Raider Sports on WMSS. Today's game was brought to you in part by Giant Company, Hughes Awards, Middletown Area Alumni Association, J&J Pizzeria, Dominic D. DeFrancesco American Legion Post 594, Middletown Lumber, Brownstone Cafe, Jack's Auto Sales, Daly's Golf, Michelle's Creations with you in mind, the Middletown Moose, Middletown VFW Post 1420, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, Gingrich Memorials, the Hattrick Center, and DHL Supply Company. Your home for the best in Middletown sports is WMSS.